Good evening. It's me, the Monk. Have you ever listened to Trash Taste and thought, that doesn't seem too hard, I can do that? Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
Gamers.
I remember whenever that like message came up in the cinemas, it like always just scared me.
What message?
That you wouldn't steal a car.
Why did that become like the standard? Why did everyone use that one?
What? Like you wouldn't steal
one.
A car?
Yeah, that one. Why did that become the one?
Because that's the argument that...
Because it was the easiest but to like
yeah,
explain.
But, yeah, right? But like why did everyone just take that exact video clip and use it in everything? Like,
because,
why?
Because... Did you grow up in the Blockbuster era or like the rental
yeah,
era?
I got games mainly from Blockbuster though.
Okay, so basically why that became a meme is because at the start of every movie that you'd rent from like Blockbuster or anything, that one message would show up.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. I know that. But then like it was also in like non-Blockbuster things. Like why did that video, that thing get just used everywhere? Why did everyone agree this was the best
way? Was it in Blockbuster videos?
I don't know. It was
for
in
me,
everything.
Because for me, it played before every movie at
the
cinema.
Yeah, every movie ever had it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it in movies.
Yeah, I only know it from the cinemas.
Oh, I only know it from like rental stuff.
Really?
Welcome to this episode of Trash Taste. That's a strange topic that we didn't mean to get on, but welcome. I'm your host, Connor, with the boys, Jerry and Garn.
Although, as we've established, the host means nothing now, as someone on the Trash Taste Reddit pointed out.
I explained to them, I was like, on my live stream, I was like, listen, you don't understand. You get power when you're on the solo seat.
You get space.
You do, yeah. I don't know how to explain it. You just get like a feeling that you're like,
I'm in control.
I'm in the conversation.
Like every time when I'd hosted before and there was a guest on, I'm just like, well, that's my hosting privilege is gone. Because I got to take care of the guests. I'm on babysitter mode now.
Yeah, now you're in the beta seat. I hate that seat the most.
Really?
I feel like I'm furthest away from everything. I'm like, hi guys. Hey. Crust, yeah, like crust. You know, I know. I'm kidding. A part of me just feels like I like these two seats.
I like that seat.
I like this seat too. I'm like, hold on. I gotta find everyone.
I'm the only one that's literally never given a shit. I'm like, we're still sitting
it's
at the same
psychology,
table.
Something about it just, you know, feels different. You know, it's like getting like the front seat in the car. You know, you are the alpha male. If
what
you
are
get
you,
the,
5 years old?
Yes, you are.
Shotgun! You know,
oh, okay, sorry. Every time we go on a road trip, Joey's the one that shotguns the front seat every fucking time. I swear to God.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm doing it for the driver, all right? Yeah. There's more responsibility for me. You can chill in the back of the
front
car.
The front seat's only good if the driver is also really confident, because if the driver's confident, then he's not going to bother you.
Yeah.
But if the driver's,
but if
like
the driver's not,
sure, not
confident, then he's going to bug you.
Oh, can you look at the map? Actually, can you change the song? Oh, we can stop there. It's like, no. That if the driver's chatty, he's
but
like,
even
I
if
drive.
It, but even if it's a confident driver, right, you're going to be the one guy who's like, you know, someone in the back's going to be like, hey, can you turn up the AC? It's like, oh, fine, fucking, all right.
No, this is why I feel sorry for any short person who is on a group road trip, right? Because here's the thing. No matter what we think is the best seat in the car, we can all unanimously agree that the worst seat is the middle seat in the back, right?
Yeah.
And who always gets that? It's the short person, because they take up the least space. Because I can always be like, look, guys, I'm a bit tall. Can I at least get one of the side seats? And everyone's like, all right, guy, I understand. And I'm just like,
I love how though people throw in that argument as if like the one that is in the middle seat has more leg room or something. Like, we all have the same amount of leg room, so it's like,
but it's, you're like worrying about invading two people's leg rooms, as opposed to just guarding your own.
Oh, is that the logic?
I think so. But also, it doesn't really have to do that much with height. Surely
it's about width.
Yeah.
Like,
because you could be
what
like,
if it's like Eric Cartman, right? Eric Cartman is like,
everyone in South Park.
Yeah, like, where is he going to sit? Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean.
Yeah. For me, it's always like it's whoever has like the smallest stature
which a lot of the times happens to be the shortest person.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But there are some like short, thick people out there in the world. So it's like, where do they sit?
I'm sure they are, but I'm just saying every time because I'm always the person that forgets to like shotgun the front seat. So I'm just like, if I can't get the front seat, there's no way in hell I'm getting the middle seat.
You'll catch me dead before I'm in the middle seat.
You'll catch me dead before I catch the middle seat.
You'll catch me in the
middle
seat.
I'm just like, oh, you want me to take the middle seat? Oh, okay. Well, I guess these long legs have no space to sit, eh? Oh, let me just manspread as much. Let me just like manspread as much as possible so you can regret this decision of putting me in the middle seat.
God's polite enough though, where if you're like, God, get in the middle seat, God will be like, all right.
Yeah.
But it depends on the length of the journey. If it's a short journey, I'm like, I'll take the middle. I don't
really.
Yeah.
Even in a short trip, I don't want the middle.
Like an hour in the middle, I can do an hour in the middle.
An hour short?
Yeah. I'd say like 4 hours where it gets like long.
4 hours, yeah. You can throw me in the trunk, man. I think I'll have a bit of time in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it's the middle seat especially. It's not just like the least comfortable. It's just the one that induces the most motion sickness for me as well. Because
I don't get motion sickness.
Because the problem with the middle seat is that it's always got like the shittiest seat belt. Right? Like
that's
the side,
the waist only one, right?
Yeah, it's the waist only one. So it feels like the top half just like has less, what's the word I'm looking for? Like support. It has less support, right? You're nice and snug.
That makes you motion sick?
Yeah, kind of like, a lot of things make me motion sick.
God's one of
right?
those people who literally needs to be like fucking straight jacketed into the seat to be like, no motion sickness for me.
Yeah, because the other thing as well is a lot of the times the middle seat doesn't have a headrest as well. So a lot of, part of the thing that helps me with motion sickness is having something to rest my head on.
That sounds like a tall person problem.
It very much is a tall person problem. Either I get motion sickness or I just have like massive whiplash from just like trying to lie like this for like 2 hours.
Well, then after saying all of that, can you really fault me for shotgunning the front seat? Clearly, so I can avoid fucking sitting like this for the entire trip, right?
No, that's why short people deserve to be in the middle.
It is your right as a short person to take a bullet for the team. No headrest for you.
No headrest for you. You don't need a headrest. You're short enough as it is. I need a headrest, okay?
Can't hate short people, confirmed. He wants them all to sit in the middle seat for the rest of time.
This is the birth of heightism.
Heightism?
Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
Maybe, probably, if you're on Tinder.
You can't call them short. That's going to end up being derogatory at one point of our lives, because everything ends up being derogatory.
Also, there's no clear definition for when somebody becomes short.
Exactly. Right.
Vertically challenged. that's what we have to start using from now on.
I hate that. It's so dumb.
Don't call them short.
Yeah, at which point, what is the cutoff for like short?
Well, it depends how tall you are. Depends
how self-conscious you are.
It depends on where you are as well.
Some guys say anything below 6 foot, you're a dwarf.
Yeah. But then again, it's like...
Who says that?
Insecure men, I think. They're like,
it depends. I think the definition of short is dependent on like your point of reference, right?
Also the country that you're in, right?
Like, yeah,
if you're
true.
If you're from Netherlands...
Then everyone here is short.
Yeah, I feel like an average size human being in the UK, and then I move to like Thailand and like the toilets come up to my shins. That's like the biggest like indicator of when I go to like Thailand. I can't remember... I think Japan's like kind of the same, where I go into the public toilets and normally like it goes up to like my knees, but then the toilets there go up to my shins. And I'm just like, what is this country?
Yeah.
But like, there's some Japanese high school kids that are fucking massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone I've will noticed. Go walk on the train, they'll be like 6'5" and I'm like, oh my God.
I've kind of noticed that. They're like, I feel that when I first moved here or even earlier than that, everyone around me was shorter than me. But nowadays, like, as you said, there are like 7 feet tall high school kids now. And it's like, what happened? The entire country just had like a growth spurt. because I remember there was
anecdotal, but I mean,
it's totally anecdotal. But like, I remember at one point when I was in high school, because I reckon I stopped growing around like 16, 17. Right?
I'm still growing copium. I'm still growing.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
I personally stopped growing at around like 16, 17, right? Yeah. So right before I graduated high school. And I remember there was one time where I was on an absolutely packed train in Tokyo. And I was like a fucking Q-tip in a field of like cotton swabs. Like it was just me, and then it's just like a sea of heads. Mm-hmm. But nowadays I'm just like, I get in a packed train and I'm like, everyone around me is the same height as me. Like, what happened?
Why am I beta now?
Is everyone wearing... Why am I beta? I thought I was the only one.
Joey thought he was built different. Yeah. He's built the exact same as everyone else.
I was like, I'm exclusively in the 6 foot club. Now everyone is in the 6 foot club.
Well, aside from Connor, yeah. As is evident in like every photo we take, it's surprising that we've taken this many photos and we still get the same, we still get the same three comments every fucking time.
Which Asians are taller than white people? No.
Which is, I didn't expect Connor to be the shortest, which Connor's not a short guy.
Connor's not short. That's the thing. You're not a short dude.
You're not a short guy. Incredible meme right now. You guys are like happy. I'm like the fucking pain. Like, I'm not short.
But the thing is, you're not short.
I don't really
care. Especially in this country.
I don't feel short.
No.
Yeah. But like you meet people, you're like, I am tiny on this earth.
Well, yeah. I mean, every time I go to the Netherlands, I'm like, oh, I am literally vertically challenged right now compared to everyone else. But in Japan, it's like, you know, you meet people who are like 3 feet tall and they're living their lives normally. So I'm like, good on you, I guess.
You meet someone 4 foot, you're like, why are you living? Why?
Like, Is it tough?
why are you doing this? Why give up?
How can you live? How is hard mode? How's hard mode going?
Pogos for legs.
God. I'm just kidding. My girlfriend is literally the shortest person I know. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't really give a shit about height. I don't know.
Me neither.
I think it's one of those things that people really care about. And when they do, I'm like, why?
I've met people who are like, I will only date someone unless they're like
that's the common thing, right?
Yeah, height, yeah, right? Yeah. And I'm like, why? Why though? What, like, what are the privileges of being taller than a certain position?
You have a preference, right? You might like really, I know guys who love taller women than them. They love women that are taller than them. I get that.
Yeah. Nothing against that, but like.
I guess it's the wording, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Some girls just, when they word it, I can understand why it hurts some of those guys out there that are like, I just wanted a break, man. And then I just not 6 foot. And I'm like, it's all right, man. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
I don't get it. Like, why is it just that cut off? You know, it's just, I don't know. It's always weird to me.
I'm yet to meet a woman who was like, man, I want a man who's at least 4 feet tall. And just every man be like, thank you. Thank you. Inclusive.
I don't know why. I think 6 foot sounds nice.
What about like 175 centimeters or something?
Have the same ring.
180 centimeters. No. That's, I don't know. It's around the same, right? What's 6 foot again?
180, I think.
181, something like that.
I don't know.
I'm exactly 6 foot, so whatever I am.
That's not a new standard in metric.
Jerry's like, just made it.
Yeah, I literally, I was like, just scraped by.
There was a god.
I grew 2 millimeters last year and I just scraped by. What?
183.
Okay, I'm not even 6 foot. I always thought 6 foot was 180.
Joey, you're kind of looking mighty short right now, Joey. You're kind of looking mighty short right now.
It's technically 182.8. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I know what I am in centimeters. Let me ask.
It's right, okay. It'll make your dick look bigger.
Hey Siri. Fucking Siri, wake up. Hey Siri. What's 181.2 centimeters in feet and inches?
Throw in the point two. I'm desperate.
Shut up.
I'm desperate.
Shut up. She picked up all that.
The answer is 100 over 381.
No, it's fine. Okay. Hey Siri. What's 181 centimeters in feet and inches?
Put it up against the mic.
181 centimeters is 5.94 feet.
5.94, which that's what, 5'11", right? It's because it's not 5'9", it's 5.94 feet, which is five, which means it's 5'11". How many feet, how many inches in a foot?
But it's not
six though.
But it's not six though.
That's all that matters.
That's the important part. Yeah,
it's not six, which means you must be six.
Yeah, bro, I am six.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Chad.
How does it feel?
Interview a real Chad, Joey. Ask a real Chad.
I thought you were a brother to me.
I thought I was Giga Chad.
You could have lied this whole time.
I could have. I could have just said 183 just to make myself feel better.
You could have spent this whole time lying, but now you've. Now you've outed yourself as not being confirmed 6 foot.
Yeah, it's all right.
I know. I like my height. It's a comfortable height. I see like people taller than me, and like I'm at the height where there are some things, especially in Japan, where it just gets a bit inconvenient, right? Mm. But like some buildings are like I need to like you know just bob my head down a little bit. Mm. I can't imagine what it's like for someone who's like 6'5 or something, like trying to live in Japan. Yeah,
could you imagine having to duck down every time you go into a train?
Well, remember that toilet we went into in that one bar? We found this toilet in this bar, and I posted a video to Twitter, but like, it was like a closet. It was like this tiny little door opened, and you had to, no joke, like duck down to like maybe 4 foot.
Yeah, it was like the, it was like fucking Harry's room in fucking Philosopher's
Stone. Yeah, it was. It was crazy. Yeah. It said toilet on the wall, and I thought, the fuck, it looks like some kind of like, like some kind of old 1800s charcoal storage room.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like,
it was,
what
it, was
is this?
It was literally like out of Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. Yeah. You know, that was just
some
like
Hobbit and shit.
Yeah, right. Why? I don't understand, because the room wasn't that small. The room was quite big.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But the door was comically small.
But I liked that. That was
why.
That
so you feel like a hobbit.
I don't know. It just looked cool. Well, I guess it looks unusual. We're talking about it now.
It was like the bar at in Nisiko. Remember the one where it was like the fridge door to get in, and everyone had to duck down to get into that.
That was cool.
But something about like having to crawl to just take a shit was like Shawshank Redemption esque. I don't know. It kind of made me feel like
wasn't that small.
It was pretty. I remember I had to like really.
It wasn't a hole.
Like you're like this. Like get in. Like this, and then I could get in.
Like I thought that was just like really small. I don't know. I thought it was like. Is there no regulations around door sizes in Japan?
No, apparently not.
I'm sure in the UK we have some like kind of rule that's like the door.
Why would there be?
Just for like, you know, because and maybe it gets to the point where you're like, all right, to get to the toilet, you have to climb through the vent. By the way, this is a Mission Impossible themed cafe. And it's like,
Well, it depends. What do you constitute as a door?
Yeah, exactly. At what point is it like a cupboard?
What is a door?
I felt like it was, they were like stretching the definition of a door.
Yeah.
The same way, like, you know, if I were to open my, no, that is a door. I was like, open the fridge. And I'm like, no, that's a fridge door. No,
that's a fridge door.
It's a fridge door.
It was about the same height as a fridge door, I would
say.
Yeah,
I would say so as well.
It was not-
Like a small fridge.
It was just impressive. I was like, okay, why not just like knock a bit of the wall down and make a bigger door? Like, does it-
I could get what they're going for. They're just going for like a unique
thing. I don't
think
they were going
the
for
bar.
To be fair, the bar itself was pretty small.
It was like a, what would you describe it? Like a diner? Kind of,
not even
like a diner kind of.
There was one American. There was one bar top, and then there was like two or three, maybe like two, like three seater like bar tops.
But it looked like the classic diner seats.
Oh yeah, like the black and white.
It was just like some random bar because we were finding a place that was open.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know why the toilet fit into the theme. There was nothing to indicate that I would. It was like a hobbit theme or anything. It was really strange. But you find this in Japan occasionally, just random places with like the weirdest toilets or doors.
Yeah, yeah. There's an izakaya in Shibuya that I go to a few times where the entrance to it is basically the toilet door.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Where it's maybe up to like here for me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
On the street, mind you, on the main street.
What?
Yeah. So people who walk in, you just see people fucking doing this to get in on the main road. It's so weird.
Yeah, you do see some strange toilets in Japan. I remember like, it's just a strange layout because I remember that one toilet, I think you also tweeted this one out as well, which is, I think we were like having dinner with people from Netflix or something, and there was this toilet in there that was just in the corner, the lighting was like so ominous that it felt like you were approaching a JoJo stand.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. It was like diagonal.
Yeah, it was like diagonal.
In this room, it
just
was so weird.
Just leading to this one toilet, and all the lighting was just behind this one toilet seat.
Yeah. it's like the toilet of the promised land. It's just like, oh. Weird.
Japan has that, because I feel like the restaurant comes first, then whatever the fuck they can fit the toilet in, they do it.
I mean, not that we can really talk. We have a fucking toilet over there that's in the corner as well.
Yeah, it is weird as well. It's a weird toilet.
Yeah.
But I know that there's like, what was it? Fuck, I forgot. Brain, I got my...
Brain.
Brain.
Brain, commit suicide.
I forgot. I was going to say it. Go ahead, talk.
This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? Well, not having ExpressVPN is like going to the toilet, but the door is wide open. Everyone can see you doing your business, and you don't want people staring in at your business. Because did you know that your internet service provider knows every single website you visit? And what's worse is that they can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. But luckily, ExpressVPN is here to put a stop to that. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. I personally use ExpressVPN on all my devices. Obviously, I use it on my PC right here, but I also use it on my phone, on my iPad, even on my router. And the best part is using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, click one button, and boom, you're protected. Plus, ExpressVPN is the world's number one rated VPN by Mashable, The Verge, and countless others. So if you're like me and you believe that your online activity is your own business, secure yourself by going over to expressvpn.com/trashtaste today. Use our link expressvpn.com/trashtaste and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/trashtaste. Links in the description below. Thank you to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. Back to the show.
How do you guys feel about just the different like themes of like the restaurants you find here? Because I feel like in Japan, there are more like there are more ways that you can find just like really uniquely done like little cafes or restaurants more than I've seen in like basically where I came from or even London to me.
I think more so bars. There's more themed bars in Japan.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
There's a lot of bars.
It's bars and cafes mostly, yeah.
Yeah, you look at some of these bars and you think, how the fuck do you stay in business, right? Because some of these bars are tiny. It's like you think of a bar, at least in like the UK and America, and you think it's a building, you know, it's a building with a dedicated room with tables and chairs, and that is the bar. And some of these bars are just a countertop.
You're talking about the one we found the other night?
Yeah.
The one that was literally the size of a hallway?
Yeah.
Just, that was so weird going to that building. Do you want to tell a story?
Yeah, so we basically, it was after the really short toilet bar, right? And we were like, oh, we're feeling good. So, you know, it's been a while since the three of us had like gone out to go drink and stuff like that. So we were like, let's go to this other place in Tokyo called Yurakucho, which has like a lot of like small hidden bars and clubs and stuff like that all over the place. And by hidden, we mean like there's one road that is just like covered. There's like buildings that have like, you know, maybe 20, 30 bars in it over like six stories or something like that.
Yeah, they were like maybe some like 6 to 10 story buildings and they just had like, the signs were from the top to the bottom, all like stacked.
And it's just like 30, 40 bars. Yeah. So we just like, let's just go into one of them. And the one we went into was like really like pristine and like very like shiny and very like chic.
Which is weird because outside of it, it looks like a normal apartment building.
Yeah.
Like really grimy.
You get off the elevator. I think it was on like the fourth or fifth floor. Yeah. You get off the elevator and it's just this dark hallway.
It's like yellowish building color.
Yeah.
Like the doors are this horrible yellow beige.
Any other country, that is like a floor where you would get stabbed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, there was like three or four bars that were open. This was just like, let's just go into one of them. We went in really pristine, like silver chic looking thing. And there was this like old lady at the end that was like, you know, drinking something really expensive. But yeah, the size of this place was maybe what, four people could sit at the bar?
Yeah.
I think about six. Cause I remember there was lady on one end and we were on the other end and there were like two seats between us and the lady.
Yeah.
And that's all it could see. And that's it.
And the width was literally the size of a hallway.
Exactly. And they had three people running this bar for a bar that can seat six people.
There were just as many barmen behind the bar as there were people sitting at the bar.
Exactly.
It's really awkward. We walked in there and it was like this woman, quite elderly woman in like a kimono.
Yeah.
Drinking like Dom Perignon.
Clearly like a really important person of some
kind. And these
like
three bartenders were like all caring for her, like laughing at everything she was saying. Yeah. And then we walked in and they kind of went like, what do you guys want? And we sat down, we're like, can we have a beer? And they were like, fine. And they gave us like a bog standard beer from a glass that cost us $20 each.
Yeah.
To be fair though, we did eat like all of their complimentary snacks.
Yeah, like, they brought out a lot of snacks. I don't know what the fuck snack that was so good. But it was so good, whatever it was.
Like these were like your average bar snacks. They were like giving us like premium stuff, like dried fruits and stuff.
Yeah.
And every time we ate them, they immediately refilled it. And I started feeling really bad because like we must have ate, like I saw them like opening new packs. And I'm like, like reluctantly pouring more snacks for us. Yeah. It was a cool bar, but it was just like, the atmosphere was like really weird.
It was a bit weird, yeah.
It was like,
because then
like
when the elderly woman left, like, two of the bartenders followed her out and just didn't come back.
And they didn't come back. They might not have even worked at the bar. They might have just been like her personal attendant.
Yeah, like, there was like two of them. Like one of them was in like a tuxedo.
Yeah.
He was quite elderly as well.
Yeah.
And he looked like the fucking butler from Overlord. Sebastian.
Sebastian.
Literally looked like him. And then there was just another guy. Yeah, they both left. And then we were like, they'll come back. But they never came back.
Yeah.
But they all left at one point and left us in the bar.
Yeah.
Just like alone for like 5 minutes. Like, and we were like, This is only in Japan where they leave the bar with the customers still in there just to make sure this like rich customer can go and do whatever.
Yeah.
So strange.
It was very weird. Yeah,
but like, how do you think some of these bars do stay in business if they do
very
at all?
Rich customers that are regulars. I know there's a big like regular cut, like what's the word? Regular kind of culture. Yeah. Mm. I think it's very common to find a bar you like and just only go to
Yeah.
I like to just constantly bar hop and just see what else is there.
Yeah, me too. Because like some of these bars that, you know, you kind of like discover like this one, but this is like one of like, basically every time we go out and discover a new place, we go into one of these kinds of bar where it's like every time we go in, the bar is like almost empty or there's just like that one person sitting in the corner. Like I remember when we went out with Jan as well, it was just like the three of us and one person in the corner. And it's just this one bartender who I swear, it's just like,
He's just chill.
He's just enjoying his job, which is just a delight to see. And, you know, I get it. That's why, like, it's so weird to me that tipping culture isn't a thing. And yet bars like this are able to stay in business, because I can't imagine bars like this staying in business if there wasn't a tipping culture, right? Because the drinks were expensive, but they weren't like ridiculously expensive to the point where one or two people can, in my mind at least, run the entire bar economy and keep it afloat. So it just blows my mind.
That's a really nice bar.
Yeah, I have a mate actually who owns a bar in Saitama. My hairdresser at the time was like friends with him, so I got to know him through that, and he was just like. And I was just like curious, because I was like, how many customers do you get? Because it's kind of like in Saitama, first of all, which is like far away from Tokyo, right? Nothing. So there's less of a population to you know, for customers. But I'm like, it was also in like a really like hidden area, right? Like kind of similar to the one we went to. And I was like, how many customers a night do you get? And he was like, oh, like three or four on average.
Oh my God.
And I was like, are you like, how long are you open for? And he's like, oh, like 2 days a week. I'm like, and this is your only job? And he's like, yeah, all the other days that I'm off, I go skiing.
Oh.
And I was like, how? Just like, where does this money come from? Yeah. And he literally just said like, I get 3 to 4 customers, but it's usually the same 3 or 4 customers that just keep coming back and are there literally from bar open to bar close.
Right.
Just because like they're his mates. And this is like the only time they get to hang out with him while he's working, kind of thing.
Right.
Kind of cool, but sad at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, he's enjoying it and, you know, it's still around and everything, but it's just like really fascinating how you can just make that as a living.
Yeah.
You
know? That goes into like the other aspect of Japanese culture that is very prevalent, where they like predictability. They like the same thing.
Yeah.
Want to know what's going to happen. I guess for bar owner and customer, it's good, right? Because
yeah.
you get to go to the same bar every day. Mm. You get to know what you're going to get. And then if you're the owner, it's like, great, I know my customers. I know they're going to come and you know, it's XXX.
Yeah. Because I do think that like that's a really cool part of bar culture in Japan, is that you like there are so many small little places, and there's like places that you would never be able to do in any other country, or at least in any other country that I've lived in, because that kind of business model just wouldn't work.
Yeah,
you know, you have to have that dedication of your regular customers, and even there has to be like a symbiotic relationship, right? That the customers always need to be there, and the customers come back knowing that they are the ones that are keeping this bar in business, and they are the only ones. But I guess what I want to know is like, how do you establish yourself with that?
I think it's literally just word of mouth at that point.
The turnover is so fast.
Yeah.
Like I know that restaurants and bars close and open very fast in Japan.
Yeah.
So I imagine that a lot of them unfortunately fail.
Yeah.
I know like ramen stores are like incredibly expensive to start and operate.
Oh, it's also incredibly competitive.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You can get ramen at any street corner.
Yeah, and then you just get destroyed by
you either get destroyed by Ichiran or like a McDonald's.
Like
one of the mega corporations. But it's like, I don't know. I literally think it's just like a mate, like, you know, if one of your mates is like, I'm going to start a bar in X location, you'll be like, oh, I'll come and check it out one night. And then you go tell your mates about it. And then that friendship forms, and then that symbiotic relationship forms. And then if it keeps going well, it'll keep growing out. But I mean, with how quick it, you know.
With a bar, is there much expenses to start out with? Apart from obviously getting the location. I guess all the alcohol.
All the booze.
Probably quite expensive. Right?
You need to like, I mean, the bars we went to, some of them were in like an apartment building. So they were basically just someone's, someone's apartment, right? But the way they renovated this bar, it looks fucking great. You know, there was so many small touches in every bar we go to. So I'm sure a lot of it was also spent on renovation just to make it look like a bar.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we went to two bars that night. I remember the second one was a lot more themed, but the first one was very chill, really nice.
Yeah.
And I think they were reasonably priced. Because this guy would spend like 10 minutes making a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, could he have been faster? Yeah, probably. But but it was nice watching. It's like, I feel like that's part of the experience when you're in these like cool bars. Like, you just get to watch the guy just go ham.
Yeah.
Just like do little things.
Just make something cool.
And then I taste it and I don't really taste much difference in other drinks. But that's not the point. Is that it feels nice.
It's the experience that you get to like, he's making it for me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really nice watching
like
people
drinking Wetherspoons has like trained my mind into being like, I need to get this drink as fast as possible. Yeah. You mean you're like, I order like mojito and they'd better be serving it in a fucking jug because otherwise this time I'm waiting to get this mojito could be used to like drink something else, you know?
Yeah.
So just going into these bars, which are more chilled out, is such a like different but nice experience because you'd only normally go to these bars in the UK if you had like a shit ton of money to spend on.
I also feel you don't spend on drinks. I personally don't go into those bars to get shit faced.
No, you can't really.
Yeah. Which I mean, you can if you're there long enough, right? And you're ordering stuff that's like easy, but it's at the same time, it's like, you know, if you're going to pay for that experience and that like atmosphere, that chill atmosphere, then just like go easy on your drinks, right? Just go slowly.
Yeah. It's kind of hard because the atmosphere doesn't really make you feel like you're like, drink.
Yeah.
Like, just take your time.
Just take your time.
Just relax. Let's just talk.
This is like
let's just talk.
Also really thankful that I speak enough Japanese to be able to do those bars, like no pressure.
But
those bars don't require that much.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there's any reason to learn Japanese, probably just learn super basic stuff so you can go to those bars. Because if you don't speak any Japanese, they might be like...
Also, it's also a really good place to practice Japanese
That's true.
Because every time I go bar hopping, I get to speak more Japanese than I would normally. And the bartenders are normally, well, it's kind of their job to be way more understanding
It's their job to interact with the customers.
Basically,
right?
Exactly.
If you're going to talk to a bartender, they're not going to be like, They might.
They're really nice. I've never been to one of those bars where the bartender's been like rude or anything.
No.
They're always super nice and always interested.
Well, they wouldn't be in business if they were.
Yeah, that's true. At the end of the day, it's customer service, right?
There's only like six seats. They better be nice to every customer that comes in.
Yeah, they can't pretend to like, oh, well, what was that you were saying? Like go to a different customer. Right. But you're the only one there.
Yeah. I've had other customers be rude. While I've been in those bars.
Really?
Oh, really?
They've been like, I think one time I was with Chris and we were asking a bar and it was also a bar that made food.
Mm-hmm.
And we were ordering a bunch of foods because we hadn't eaten all day because we were like traveling and filming.
Yeah.
And I remember this one woman was like, don't you think you've ordered enough food to like me and Chris? And we were like, never enough food. Shut up. We were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you say that to someone? Fuck off. I think because she was annoyed because she was talking with him. I think she was like flirting with him.
Right.
And we kept obviously making him like, actually like cook and do his job, I guess. And she was like really annoyed. I can see every time we ordered anything, she'd be like, tch. And I'm like, what's your problem, man? Oh my God, leave us alone. We drank so much.
she's trying to get the D, dude.
I know she, fuck off, let us eat. It's because we ordered camembert, bro. Because we're ordering cheese and stuff, you know.
Chris was like, more camembert.
So we were drinking so much, we were getting hungry. We were like, more.
Imagine trying to give them business.
I know. Yeah, right? I was like, fuck off. I thought I was so rude. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I was in Kochi, I think, as well. It was in this really tiny, like.
Well, I bet for her, that's like the only, like, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
That's solace really out of whatever she's living through, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Clearly, she wasn't very happy. Yeah, she wanted to take it out on us. I don't know why. I remember.
I mean, it's Kochi. There isn't a whole lot else to do.
Yeah, there's not much going on. Yeah. Like, fuck you. I don't know. It was a nice bar, though. I remember there was like an Irish bar or something. That's the theme of it, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was really good, though, because they had Heineken on tap.
Oh, shit.
And I just drank like. And it was they had actual pints of Heineken.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
And I was like, this is amazing. And I drank way too much. I was like so excited to finally have a real sized pint. I was oh my God. It was good though. Amazing. Sorry, random tangent.
Tangent.
It's fine.
You guys haven't been to any other like weirdly themed bars? I mean, I know you have for a bunch for your videos and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like just outside.
I don't know.
Of that.
A lot of the cool bars, I wouldn't want to go film anyway. I'd want to just kind of do it. Like there's that bar we went to. It's like this bar that's like, I won't say it because I don't want it to become like rammed.
Yeah.
But it's like they had like live music there. And that was
really
cool. It was like playing piano, cello, violin and double bass.
Mm. Oh, that jazz bar too.
Yeah, kind of like a jazz bar. Right. There's the whole wall is just like wine.
Oh, yeah, wine, yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
It's really
yeah.
cool. And they have like cigars and like the atmosphere is really chill.
That sounds
super
nice. Cool.
Yeah, it's super awesome. These dudes are amazing. It's super chill just being there. It's
I really miss going to a bar that has live music. Because like
when it's like good as well, you're like, okay. Because sometimes you go live music, you're like.
I mean, it's like not too like, when the music's like not too in your face. You
know? Yeah, it wasn't too loud either.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you go to a bar and the music is way too aggressive that you can't focus on anything else but the music.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like this bar was just perfect. The music was just like, you can have a conversation or you can just like admire this guy like tearing it up on like the trumpet or saxophone whatever he was playing with the piano. Yeah. Yeah. They were fucking
really
insane.
Cool. Really cool. You can actually tip them as well. They have like a tip jar.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I assume that's how they make most of their money there. But it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's really awesome. But you get charged for just like sitting down for like the music charge.
Oh,
like
20
bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're playing for like 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, so, if the music's good, why not?
Really, yeah, it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
So cool.
I used to go to so many of those places in Australia. But like they all just got fucking replaced by like just standard like poker machines and like fucking. Yeah,
well, what's the Australian bar culture like?
I'd say pretty similar to the UK in the sense that you go in, you have, you know, some food, you know, beers and whatnot, and then you watch the footy on the TV kind of deal, you know?
Because to me, like, would you count a pub as a bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not the same, but it is in definition.
It's the OG bar.
Bro, it's the OG.
It's only since I've moved out of England that I've considered a pub a bar, right? Because before, like, I mean, I get it. It's a place that you go to drink, but to me, like, a pub always felt different in the UK, at least, to a bar. You know, a pub somewhere where most of the time you go there to drink, but you know, you can just have like a nice Sunday lunch. You can have like a nice breakfast there, whatever, as well. Mm. A bar was always like somewhere you would go before going to a club or somewhere where you are 100% of the time.
Like spend the night there.
Getting shit faced. Yeah. A pub you can go to like in the daytime as well. Mm. I could never like imagine having gone to a bar before 5 p.m. You know.
Right. Or yeah, I guess in that sense then a pub is more so similar to an izakaya in Japan in that instance. Yeah. Whereas like a bar is just like, live
Most
music,
people don't
drinking,
eat at the
that
pub
kind of
though. Most people normally go to, at least in the UK.
For us, it's like everyone eats at the pub.
I want to say 70% of people don't eat when they go to the pub.
Really?
Yeah. Young, I think the older you get, the more likely you are to eat at the pub.
That's true.
I think it's just a thing because the older you get, the more you want to on weekends. You want to go hang out with your mates.
Yeah,
you
know? That's true.
You want to go meet them for a Sunday. Maybe. I don't know. I like pubs. Pubs are interesting in the UK because. It's one place where, you know, it's also a shithole, but also it's where, like, there's also a shit ton of historical significance to some of these pubs.
Yeah.
Some pubs have been around for, like, 800 years in the UK. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That's insane. Just some guy just pouring drinks has been in there for, like, 800 years.
Yeah. It's, like, 4 times the length of Australia.
Isn't that insane? Like, there are, like, pubs that are still open that have been around for, like 500 plus years.
That's crazy.
Maybe not the same name, but like the location is this. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And you go in and it's depressing. Most of the time.
Well, because it's been around for like 500 years, right?
Yeah. Not much has changed.
I don't know. Pubs are one of those places where it very much reflects the local area. The state of it, right?
Like the absolute state.
You go into the pub and you're like, all right, we're going on.
If the community's doing well, the pub will be nice.
It's true.
If everyone's happy, the pub is nice.
That's true.
If it's an area that has been like, has been like kind of forgotten by the government.
Shankings every week.
You know, it's a reflection. I don't know. The pub's where you get to see the actual, I'd say the culture of the actual place.
Right.
Weirdly. It's probably the most honest way to find out about the culture.
I'd say so.
I'd agree with you.
I'd
and
say so.
It's like, if you want to see what proper British people are like, you go to pubs, you go to pubs, right?
Yeah.
Like you'll see that there's a difference. Well, I mean, I remember before where the image was different, but now, you know, if you, it's not all just like either, how can I word this? It's not all either like prim and proper people or just whatever the fuck we're getting clowned on the internet now.
I remember when I went to the UK and you took me to that gaming pub.
I don't know. We don't put it all on me. We both took you.
I mean, yeah, you both took
don't
you
put it all on me.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it was Connor's idea to bring you to that gaming.
Connor's like, I know a place.
I think it was supposed to be chill, but I think that day specifically, it was because the Overwatch World Finals
was happening.
Really shit because it was so busy and you couldn't get on.
But even before the actual finals started, we got there a little bit early before the finals actually started so we could like at least get a few drinks in and chill and everything. And I was like, in my head, you know, I was like, oh, okay, a gaming pub in the UK. All right, I wonder what they have. They just had a Wii on the windowsill. A single Wii with Smash. That's it.
And five PCs.
And five PCs. But the PCs were all taken up because of the Overwatch finals.
Yeah.
And I'd never been unironically oi-oi-oi'd before until that night. When I was like sitting outside, because the Overwatch finals are happening inside and it was like way too loud and I didn't really care. So I sat outside because there were a couple seats outside.
Yeah.
And yeah, this dude, clearly like about 6 pints in, just literally came up, sat next to me and was like, oi, oi, oi.
Yeah.
What's all this?
That happens in the year.
I was like, wow, you exist.
I think I was playing in an Overwatch tournament that day. I think, is that day? Yeah, I was.
I think it was that day.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, you were.
I think you signed up.
Yeah, you did sign up.
It was like the winner got a free drink.
Yeah.
it was like a 6-round tournament.
Yeah.
I think I won the first 4 matches, but then the fifth match, I was like 6 beers deep.
Yeah.
And so it was starting to get a lot harder to win these 1v1s in Overwatch. And then the guy, I remember I got so annoyed. I was like, the guy I'm going against, he was just drinking coffee. And I was like, how is this fair? I'm 6 drinks deep and this guy, he's just drinking at a fucking Starbucks.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to lose. I can barely like fucking sit in the chair correctly. And I didn't get my free drink. I lost. I was very salty. I think he was like a shit rank as well. I could have easily beat him.
Really?
So yeah.
Could have been easily. Oh,
it's all right.
Yeah. It's not right.
Yeah, I do notice that about, it's especially like themed bars in the UK because like the UK like themed bar game is fucking weak as fuck. I don't know if it's changed ever since I moved, but like, you know, like you have a gaming bar in the UK, right?
Yeah.
And the gaming bar in the UK, as Joey has just said, is just like a Wii in a corner and four PCs.
And the stickiest Wiimotes I've ever touched in my life. Yeah. I was like,
is it shut down now?
It might be. I don't know. I can't remember.
Have a look real quick before I bash it.
Yeah.
Let me make sure they're not in business before I.
What was it called again? I can't remember Meltdown. What it was called. Meltdown. That was it.
Meltdown?
I think that was shut down.
It's closed. I think it's closed and it keeps reopening and closing.
Right.
Okay. It was quite gritty though.
Yeah.
It was all right.
I mean, I still had a good time.
It was better than nothing.
Yeah.
It was better than nothing, but you compare it to some of the gaming bars and some of the theme bars you find.
Some of the gaming bars in Tokyo are like
yeah, yeah.
In the
crazy.
UK, they do have a new one now. I remember I went there.
It's called the Meltdown.
No, it's called I think I went there. It's called Platform, I think. But it was very expensive. Like to go on the PC, it was like, oh God. It was like paying normal computer costs, like computer cafe costs in London.
Yeah.
Like £5 for an hour, maybe.
Right.
Or maybe 30 minutes. It might have been £5 for 30 minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like $7. And you weren't allowed to take your drink up, obviously. Right. But that just kind of sucks.
But see, but like that sounds like a gaming bar where the gaming takes priority over the bar. Right. Whereas Meltdown was definitely like 92% bar, 8% gaming. Yeah.
Well, the thing I liked about Meltdown was that it was just, I don't know. It was just kind of like comfy, you know,
you could do
anything in that bar. You could like order food from like the local pizza place and eat at that bar.
But it
was a cool place to chill out. But in terms of just like having like a cool themed bar where like, you know, a lot of effort has gone into like the theming and the vibe. I mean, I've been to bars in America. I've been to bars in like, you know, in Japan. And, you know, for example, you have like an anime theme bar. You have like a JoJo theme bar in Japan. Mm. And like, you can tell, you walk in and immediately it's just like you're transported to a theme park, you know?
Yeah.
Thought has gone into like the aesthetic, the vibe, the design. Yeah. And then you go to like an anime bar in the UK and it's a pub with a dakimakura in the corner. That's basically like, that's what I remember. Like, that's the absolute state of themed bars in the UK.
Mind you, I still had a fun time. I'm saying all this shit about Meltdown. I still had a good time.
It was a fun time.
It wasn't exactly a gaming bar. Let's just say that.
That's the thing about UK bars. Yeah. You have fun there. Yeah. You have fun.
You have fun.
You have fun.
It's just not what you're expecting.
there was another one. I don't think we took you. There's a board game bar, but also has video games.
Right.
Yeah.
You told me about it, but we decided not to go to it for whatever reason.
It's kind of far out the way.
Yeah.
We went there. I remember I went there the other, when I went back to the UK recently just for a drink, and it was rock band night.
Right.
And it was rough.
Really?
Because people are singing. Anyone's allowed
to sing. So it's basically a karaoke bar.
Kind of karaoke, but I don't know why rock band makes people worse singers. But it was like, I remember it was rough. I remember I was there. I was like, oh, I'm not one to judge singers because I'm shit myself. But I was like, this is hard to drink with. This is like wedding singer vibes.
Yeah.
Like, even worse than that. Oh my Lord. God.
Yeah. I think just the problem with having themed bars in the UK especially is that if you are going for like a more delicate theme that requires more, you know, that requires more thought and more precision is that you have to make everything drunk proof. And not just drunk proof, but just like UK people drunk proof. And that's just like, that's like a much higher level
chaos.
Like,
because this board game bar had a bouncer. So that should tell you how much like this state of the UK, the absolute state, like a board game bar, right? Where you would think that, you know, us nerds would go, right? We're like chill, right? We need a fucking bouncer for
it. Wait, hold it right there. What's your top score on Scrabble?
All right, start up. You got to mortgage that property, mate. Gonna have to stop you right there. You're broke on Monopoly. Get out.
Have you finished a Monopoly game? All right,
we got someone stabbed over a game of Uno the other night. You know, like
I'm gonna do a pat down real quick.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. You're like, God damn it. Like, what's wrong with us? Why can't we just fucking not be shit for it?
I've heard there's a lot of really fun board game bars in Tokyo. I've never been to any of them, but I know of a couple that I want to go to.
There's a few in London, actually.
There's one new gaming bar in Shinjuku, actually, this one.
Well, there's one next to the Eroza bar, right? Eroza Cafe in Akihabara, yeah. There's a board game bar there.
Problem is, you'd need one that you'd kind of, if you can't read Japanese, you need to be somewhat familiar with the game.
Yeah, sure.
But that's
sure,
fine if you know a lot of them or you have someone who can explain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of these games, I'm like, I don't want to read the manual. I'll play it with someone who knows. They can just explain.
Yeah. That's much better.
Yeah. Like, if there is anyone living in the UK that just does legitimately go to a cool themed bar, please, I would actually like to know if the UK bar game has improved since I've moved out of the UK.
Mm. I'd like to know. Too.
Because, like, yeah, compared to what's available internationally, it is weak. I would say that it is weak, but I mean, I understand it.
Yeah.
Why, hello, you lovely listeners and watchers of the podcast. It is I, Joey, your boy, and I'm here to tell you about the lovely sponsor for today. Boxu here makes such a perfect and memorable gift for anyone in your life who appreciates Japanese snacks and culture, especially during a time when people aren't able to travel around as easily as they could. And this being the month of February, it is the season of love. And Boxu here's got you covered with all of these sweet snacks to share with your special and loved ones. For example, why not try this Hokkaido White Raspberry? A beautiful combination of rye, rice, and puffed corn coated in that Hokkaido signature white chocolate. And don't worry if you're not too much of a sweet tooth because you can wash all of it down with some beautiful organic hojicha. But you know what the most amazing part about this whole thing is not just the fact that you can get these amazing snacks, but if you use our code TRASHTASTE10, you can actually get 10% off your subscription. So go and get yourself or a special loved one a Boxu this February. Thank you to Boxu for sponsoring the video. Back to the show.
I watched more anime.
I did too, actually.
What did you watch?
I watched Attack on Time.
Oh, me too.
What is going on now? What?
Joey's watched as Joey's only and first anime.
He can't just drop this bombshell on me, guys.
I tweeted. You know,
I watch anime.
I tweeted about how the first two episodes were wild, and then I immediately silenced.
Yeah,
that
you got to mute. You got to mute.
I muted it. Yeah, I didn't see it at all. But I guarantee all the comments were like, "You don't watch anime."
Well, by the time this episode comes out, I think episode 6,
something like that.
Yeah,
it's only 12 episodes this season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had to go back a couple of episodes just because it really does just like throw you in.
Mm. Well, I mean, it is just a continuation.
Right, right.
Just from the last episode.
I think I'd completely forgotten about that. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's just the new season, right? So I was like, I was waiting for like the recap. And I was like, where is it? Where is it? What's happening?
Because like now anime has this thing where they call things seasons, but they're really not fucking seasons. Like it's just parts.
Right? Yeah, it's final season part 2.
Yeah, right.
But wasn't there a part 2 of season 3?
Yeah, there was a part 2 of season 3
So season 3 part 1, season 3 part 2, and then final season part 1, final season part 2.
Because like the last season wasn't really a season because it was just a story arc that was cut right in the middle of the story, right? So I wouldn't really call that like a full season. Yeah. You know? So this was just like the continuation of the Attack on Titan
season. Yeah, and I completely forgotten about that when I started the first episode of part two.
Yeah.
So weird to fucking say that. I hate that.
Final season.
Yeah, like, when I started episode one, final season, part two.
Season, the actual final season.
Yeah, the actual final season, supposedly. But yeah.
CGI looks pretty good this season.
Huh?
CGI looks pretty good this season.
Don't.
No, it doesn't look that bad, actually. The Titans have gotten a lot better. Yeah. CGI.
I don't know
what people I haven't actually watched the new Attack on Titan season.
I don't know if I'm just being like, I'm just used to it. But yeah, I think the CGI Titans look a lot better than they did in the previous seasons.
I didn't really notice it until I saw on Twitter that people were complaining about it. I was like,
oh, well, you know, they complain about anything CGI.
Yeah, exactly.
They feel like detectives. Like, I saw it. I found the CGI, guys. I did it.
Yeah. Right. I saw it.
If we cross-reference the manga panel that they took this from.
Like, I saw a guy on Twitter, like, complaining about the CGI in Part 6 JoJo as well, like, the other day, where he was literally, like, I don't know who it was, but I saw an image where it was, like, a side-by-side comparison of, like, arrows of just, like, this is Part 5, and this is how many CGI things are in the background, and this is Part 6, and this is how many CGI things are in the background. God. And I'm just like, we are getting to, like, the fucking Always Sunny Charlie meme at this point, you know? Like, you know, it, like, I can't comment on the Attack on Titan final season CGI, but it wasn't too bad.
Why do people do that? One?
People just hate CGI. They just like the 2D art style. I get it. You know, obviously I would prefer 2D. Yeah, I don't really any sleep over CGI being included. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really care.
I mean, does it affect the story?
No.
Or the impact of the story?
No.
I get more annoyed when they just don't even animate stuff. Like, I think there was a fight in the previous part one of final season that I wish they'd animated.
Which part?
The final season, part one.
Okay.
There's a fight in it that I wish that they'd actually done something with, but they just kind of didn't show anything.
Okay.
And they kind of like cut to the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, well, that's shit. I'm like, show me something. Even if it's CGI, I'd love
to
see.
Did it have something to do with Levi?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I know the moment you're talking about. Yeah,
That one was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Show anything? That's where I'm like, okay, now this is shit when they're not even showing the fight.
Yeah.
That's when it bothers me.
The only thing I would say that I think has been a step down is that the story of Attack on Titan final season has been amazing, but compared to like what previous seasons did, there wasn't like that epic, oh my God, fight moments.
Yeah.
Mm. And I feel like that's the only thing that's really missing from this final season, or that has been missing, because like there are some amazing action moments in the previous seasons, and this one has just been amazing for the story and for the conflict.
Yeah, I look forward less and less for the action scenes and more so what's gonna happen. Mm. Whereas, you know, like season three, part one, had that glorious scene, which you've probably seen all over because the GIFs are like orgasmic.
The Levi one.
That shit's insane.
Like anything involving Levi is just like, that made me nut the first.
It was kind of interesting because I remember when that came out, you know, everyone was like joking that Attack on Titan season two was so boring.
Yeah.
And then that scene came out in season three. And part one. And everyone was just like, Attack on Titan hype again. Everyone was like, scene made everyone hype for Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
So it was so well done. It was insane.
Yeah. I mean, there were even like some scenes in season two that were like fucking incredible as well. Like,
people just didn't care because it took 5 years, right? Or like 4 years.
Yeah, it took like, five, 6 years.
It was also the point where the story started to get like, had like the political side of it all, like in the story and the world.
Yeah, season two was slow.
So it was a lot harder for people to get like hyped over. They weren't going to be like, yo, politics hype, you know?
I think that's just because it was like so different from season one, because season one was just like, it was so fast paced and so action packed that people like-
It was so cut and dry and like straight to the point.
Yeah,
This is what's happening. You're going to get hyped for this fight.
I'm glad they slowed it down in season two and literally like built up the characters, built up this world, because now I think it's so much better for it. It's like a much better show.
For like the action scenes now has just become like so much greater.
Yeah.
Even though the final season part two right now, there isn't really any like fight scene that's made me go, well, I mean, I've only seen the first two episodes, but like there hasn't been a fight scene that's made me go like, yo, or anything like that. But
everything's a fight right now.
if anything, the one thing that's been talked about is that fucking face, right?
Oh, oh my god! Yeah, yeah.
That's been like mean.
I don't even know the context of that You'll face, and I've seen it like on my timeline.
Yeah,
that caught me off guard.
That caught me off guard as well. Yeah, I was like, whoa! It's like a horror anime now. What the fuck?
I guess it'll be interesting to see how our opinions change when it's over, and see our final thoughts on it.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I'm following it now for like I don't know six.
Do you feel like this is the anime that has like just define this modern generation of anime fans?
Yeah. This is going to be the show for the next 10 years that when someone was like, oh, I want to watch anime, what do I watch? Yeah. I watch Attack on
Titan.
You
go back on the greats of the 2000s and it's like, well, Attack on Titan, obviously.
Yeah.
It is. Like, as much people want to be like, no, it's shit, or whatever, because they want to have like a counter opinion. Like, no, it is. It is like this.
It's a great show. I'm interested to see how the ending is going to go down, because whether it is good or not, because I don't know, because I'm not a manga reader, whether it's good or not, the anime community is probably going to explode one way or the other.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Through discussion.
I don't know how I've like fucking dodged all these spoilers. I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because whenever you even like utter the word Attack on Titan ending, all the fucking manga readers come out of the shadows like war veterans being like, you'll soon see one of these.
All I know is that it's divisive. Yeah, that's good. That means it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Because if everyone agreed like it's decent, I'd be like, fuck. Now that I know it's divisive, I know that I'm in for something good.
I'm like preparing a nuclear shelter for a fucking Twitter. That's when the ending comes out. I know the Twitter is going to be like a fucking landmine.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm hyped for it.
Any opinion will be shattered by the opposite party.
It's going to be one of those shows where you just need to watch it just so you can have a take on it. You know,
your
personality is going to be defined on whether you on what take you have on the Attack on Titan ending.
Match.com will be asking you what you felt about the ending of Attack on Titan.
So my credentials for a boyfriend, over 6 feet, thought the ending of Attack on Titan was good. Yeah. If you don't fit these, get out.
That's how you know, man. It'll be interesting. I'm really, really hyped. And also, it's probably the longest anime that I've been following where it's like, okay, it's finally, like an end is in sight.
Yeah.
And like an actual ending, not a, oh, they fucked up the production. Oh, it's gone now. It's never coming back. It's like an actual wrap up of a long running thing.
Yeah. I can't even remember the last time I experienced something like this where I was just watching an anime and it was like, it just ended. And I had to wait years for it to end. Actually, I know it's Evangelion, but aside from that, I just realized it's just all come recently.
Start of Evangelion. You know
I wasn't there for the start.
That's what I'm saying. Like for me, it's like, cause I've been there from like the beginning.
Like I've lived through the initial hype,
every single phase of Attack on Titan hype and controversy and everything. I've been through it all. So having it come to an end is going to feel so weird.
Yeah.
Cause like, even like if you're like, all right, well, One Piece, it's like, yeah, but One Piece is around before you were around, right? Kind of while watching.
Well, it started in 96.
90,
right, well, you weren't reading One Piece from the start, right? Like imagine if you're like a 50-year-old Japanese salaryman who's been reading One Piece since your 20s. It must be like really weird to think that one day it's gonna end.
Yeah.
And like, you've been around for and conscious around every single phase of it.
Well, that's what a bunch of 50-year-old salarymen were like when Naruto ended, right?
Yeah, true.
They were like, like Bleach, right? It's like, oh my God, it's crazy, it's fucking over.
I don't know, like to me, the Naruto ending got like soured by the fact that Boruto, I think, was like announced even like before it ended. So I'm just like, well, it's an ending. I'm emotional, but I know it's not really ending. And
because there's more of it.
Yeah, because there's already more of it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I wish I could go back and watch Death Note, like episode 1 through 37.
Just log on to Twitch.
I know. I should go on Twitch. Oh, Hunter x Hunter as well. Could you imagine if you were around when Death Note was if it was an anime only and it was like week by week? Holy shit, that would have been crazy. I wish I was there. But
I mean, I was there during the second half of when the manga was serializing.
Yeah.
And even that was fucking crazy. It obviously started before I started reading Shonen Jump, right? So I had to like do a quick catch up to like keep up with everyone. And even then that was fucking crazy.
I can only imagine the levels of hype that it would reach nowadays if something like that dropped today.
Yeah, it was weird because I was one of the guys who was watching like Death Note when it aired and it was just a different vibe because rather than people discussing it weekly, you just had people be like, watch Death Note, it's amazing. So you'd only get like discussions of the entire show after it finished as opposed to, did you catch the newest episode? Fucking
yeah.
A letter got removed from the alphabet. Well, that was fucking insane, man.
It's true though. I wish it could have been around with something like that. I don't even know. Like, it's so, I guess I don't know what the next show is that's going to be like that one. I don't know. Maybe Mushoku Tensei. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I hope so. I mean,
it's a hard shoe to fill just because you very rarely see anime that everything literally appeals to everyone and has everything that everyone likes.
Yeah.
Everything needs
I hope the next one is Mushoku Tensei because they literally created a studio just to make this one show. But they kind of need to because of how long the story is. It follows like his entire life.
How many episodes do you think?
It'll probably need like 6 seasons.
6 seasons? That's not that many compared to like One Piece or something.
That's true. But like in terms of that many high quality episodes, that's like a lot.
That's true. It's a lot. Mm.
And it feels like more like an autobiography or like a biography of a fictional character. Kind of like, you guys ever seen like Boyhood or that movie?
No.
What's that?
That sounds so familiar.
That was a movie that like took 15 years to make. Because it basically is the story of this kid and how they did it is that they filmed every year for 15 years, I think.
I've seen clips
of
that's
this. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so they... Yeah, do you remember that? I think... Did it win an Oscar?
You'd fucking hope so.
Yeah.
After 15 years.
Yeah, it was talked about a lot. Was it Boyhood? I can't remember if that was...
Boyhood. There was a movie like that they did.
Yeah.
Now you can just go on YouTube and watch those family channels just raise their kids. And
I watch Shay Cole.
Who needs that now? That groundbreaking thing has now been turned into ad revenue. So now a compelling piece of media is just filmed, farmed on YouTube.
Yeah, why
condense it into a feature-length film when you can make multiple seasons?
You can make so much more
ad
revenue if you're doing, you know, day-by-day uploads, you know, my kid shit himself vlog, you know, like...
Episode 4,700.
If you've not seen those, they're like, the kid gets called up by the principal and they film it. They like film picking the kid up from school after he's been like kicked out of school.
I've never seen that. No.
This shit is insane.
Family vlog channels are so weird to me.
It's the most scariest part of the internet for me. That's what scares me.
It scares me because I can't imagine. I mean, it's the complete opposite of like a healthy environment to raise children in. Right?
I know, it's awful.
Like imagine you're a kid and you're just like grown up, just thinking that everything you're going to do is going to be filmed and you have to like permanently be on entertaining mode.
Oh my God.
Right?
We're only years away from like the first influencer who was raised in an influencer like house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, they're probably already born.
Yeah, as in like what I'm saying is like there must be one of those kids on one of those family channels. Yeah. It's going to be like the first big like YouTuber or something where his whole entire life has been documented willingly. Oh, awful. God. Awful. Just not Black Mirror shit right there.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
Literally just Truman Show, right?
It is Truman Show.
Terrifying stuff. The kid is raised not on his what he should be taught in school, but how to use Google Analytics and Google Trends. What a terrifying thought. What a terrifying thought. Awful.
It's so scary.
What did you want to say, Ashley?
What do you want to know about Boyhood? It won.
How long did it like take to make?
2002 to 2013. So
11 years.
11 years. See, I know it got like cancelled. It almost got cancelled because the cast members just wanted to stop doing it. Like imagine being tied to a project for like 11 years and having to do this one thing every year, even though you never know if the film is going to be finished and released.
I mean, that's because like 11 years is literally, you know, a kid just starting school to almost graduating school.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Yeah, especially for a kid.
Yeah, that is the entire point of the movie because you literally get to see this kid grow up.
Oh my God.
And a lot of it like wasn't scripted. A lot of it, I might be talking my ass, but like I know like they had the rough plan, but because they didn't know what would happen in life, sometimes they had to change the script every year depending on what happened. So, I mean, I highly recommend you guys watch it. It's a fucking amazing film.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, because like it's rare to see a project that lasts for a long time and you get to see the end of that project. And I think something like Attack on Titan is such a rarity that we should cherish it whenever we do get to see something like this.
I guess I had a normie anime weekend because I also watched the new season of Demon Slayer.
Ah.
Oh yeah, how is that? Dude, I've been meaning to start it.
It's so good. Yeah. It's crazy, man. So I watched the movie right before I watched the new season.
Yeah.
And the animation in the season was like way better than the movie.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. I was watching the train arc thinking, waiting for some like insane, you know, movie budget animation to kick in. And I was like, oh, it's not really that much different from the episode.
I, I, I would say the last fight scene was pretty crazy, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The last fight scene was
nothing like that they didn't already do in the, like, the TV show.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, the bar of quality was pretty high.
I don't know who's in charge of the animation there, but holy shit, how do they even step it up more? Like, there was a...
Man discovers UFO table.
Yeah. The UFO table, they're on another level.
No, I know. It was just like, how do they keep doing this? How do they keep getting away with it? Like,
it's like MAPPA as well. Like, every year they just step it up somehow.
Yeah, genuinely, new season of Demon Slayer is really good. And I hate to be that normie guy who's like, yo, I just heard of this amazing anime called Demon Slayer. But, like, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really fucking good.
No, I've been meaning to start it just because I did actually finally get around to watching it. You know, after all those years. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it, yeah. So I want to watch it.
I haven't seen the new season of Demon Slayer, and it's one of those shows where I'm just like, I'll watch it when I feel like watching anime with no pressure to, like, make a fucking video about it or anything like that.
You'll not.
Yeah, because, like, to me, like, Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer, I'm like, everyone already knows these shows. Yeah. I don't need to make another video about them yet.
Come on, think about it. The adverb.
The SEO.
One more Attack on Titan. We need to do one more Attack on Titan video. Come on, it wraps up. We've got to do another Attack on Titan.
I'll do another one when it ends.
Okay, and then you have to.
Yeah, and then that'll be it. I think I've made like fucking four videos on Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan is still a masterpiece.
I can't form an opinion unless Giga also agrees with it.
Yeah, that's true.
On his video about it, you know? If he says it's a masterpiece, it's a masterpiece.
I need that strong 9 to a light 10, you know? It's like, okay, there we go.
I mean, would you say Demon Slayer, like, would you say it's as good as the first season, or is it, like, even better?
When did the last season come out? How many years ago is that now?
2019.
Right before we moved to Japan, right?
Was it 2019? I thought it was before that.
Because I feel I think it's 2019. I don't know if I'm just, like, I'm forgetting, but I feel like it's better than the first season.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I've been enjoying it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And they got, like, right into it. It was nice. No fucking around.
Yeah.
It was good. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I feel like the first season, it did take a lot of time to get going, I felt. Like, it was just like the first half of Demon Slayer season one it was just very standard shonen stuff. You know, it was like, it was nice. It was like comfort food, you know, you knew what you were getting. And it was only until, like, the fucking spider arc where I feel like it actually got
it kicked off.
Really, really good.
I don't know. I feel like this season so far, I'm on episode 7. Really impressed with it so far. I've not a single episode I thought was boring. Pacing's really good. Animation is just god tier.
Although I must say, like, one aspect of Demon Slayer that I've just, like, never really understood is, like, I don't know. It's a good show, right?
Yeah.
But do you think it deserves as much of, like, an insane hype in Japan as it does?
I mean, what I mean in Japan is worldwide.
No, but like, I feel in Japan, it's on another level.
It's hard to explain if you don't live here, like, how insane the hype for Kimetsu no Yaiba is.
Like, everyone knows Kimetsu is fucking popular everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's watching the new season. Everyone went to go see the new movie. But, like, in Japan, it's, when I say when something is inescapable, that I feel Kimetsu in Japan perfectly suits that word. Because everywhere you look, some product or some store or something is doing something with Kimetsu.
Yeah, even like 5-year-olds to like 80-year-old grandmas.
Dude, like, my entire Japanese side of the family has like a favorite, like a top 3 characters in Demon Slayer. It's like, I have a 4-year-old cousin, right? Who obviously loves Demon Slayer, right? Because fucking every kid loves Demon Slayer right now. So like for Christmas, I was like,
breathing young.
Yeah. So for Christmas, I was like, oh, I'm going to get him something Demon Slayer related, right? So I asked his mom, my cousin, just being like, what is his favorite character, right? And she just lists off like 2 or 3 characters. I was like, all right, cool, easy. And then she was like, oh, by the way, I like this character. Your uncle likes this character. Your aunt likes this character. And I'm like, what? imagine my 60-something-year-old uncle being like, yeah, I fucking love Shinobu, dude. Like, she's like my fucking favorite character. I'm like, that's so weird. It's so weird how in Japan, literally everyone of every age generation is watching Demon Slayer has watched it.
It's intense.
Yeah. Do you think it's the movie that's got it this big? Because I didn't realize how big it was.
I think
it was already big before.
I think how big it already is was the reason why the movie's like the fucking like highest grossing anime film of all
time. Because like it was like that one year where it beat out One Piece by manga sales, but like tenfold or something.
It was more than that. Yeah.
And like before, like it was like the years before that, the top selling manga was like One Piece, One Piece, One Piece, One Piece, One Piece, by like a long shot.
Yeah.
And then Demon Slayer came out, and it was just like, yeah, let me like 10 times like your previous sales.
It was
sales
hilarious
record.
When you saw the graph, because it was like all these other Shonen Jump stuff, and then it's like One Piece. It's like Demon Slayer.
Because within 2019, the rankings for like weekly rankings for demons, like the manga rankings, like Demon Slayer was like every
Every week.
And Jujutsu Kaisen came out, it was like second and first, and then like it's a fight between Demon Slayer.
Yeah, because I was going to say Jujutsu Kaisen seems almost equally as inescapable recently.
Because of the new movie.
But like even before that, like after it got released, it just seemed like it just had such a big explosion. And I'm not sure like. I haven't been living in Japan long enough to see like how big or how fast trends come and go, but like it was way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, you know, in Japan, trends come and go so quickly because I feel once something trends in Japan, Japan just milks the absolute shit out of it. Like, you know, throwback, if you can remember PPAP, for instance,
oh my
back
God.
In the fucking day, right? For you kids, that's pen, pineapple, apple pen. When that was fucking big, like 3 or 4 years ago, however long it was.
It was longer than that.
I think it was longer than that, right? Like that was fucking everywhere in Japan. And it's crazy. Like,
still when you go to the supermarket, they play it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like it still has staying power. But like, I don't know. I don't know what it is about Demon Slayer specifically when it comes to like a trending anime in Japan. Mm. Because I feel there's always that one series that is trending ever in Japan, right? Like during the different periods. It's like, it's nothing new to Demon Slayer, I feel, in Japan.
Yeah.
But I was like, what is it about Demon Slayer specifically that it's literally appealing to every single generation?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
It's weird,
a good show.
It doesn't really have like the family-friendly appeal.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine a 4-year-old watching these demons like heads getting cut off, right? Yeah, being like, ha,
it's not the same as like Beauty and the Beast, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not like a different Disney IP or, you know, like a Pixar IP or anything like that, right? Where it can appeal to the family.
Like even comparing it to like other anime or other shonen, it's good. It's good. It's a good show.
Like, every time I make this argument, people just think, "Oh, you're just a Demon Slayer like hater." I'm like, I'm not. I enjoy the show, but I just don't understand what about this show specifically that is literally inescapable.
I don't even think it's like my top three shonen.
Oh, it's definitely not in my top three shonen.
It's not.
But the animation is just so good that it makes it so easy to watch.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is just amazing. This is just insane.
But the thing is, it's not only because of the anime, though, but because, you know, like the manga sales are massive as well, right? Massive. So it's something like fundamental about Demon Slayer that is somehow appealing to everyone. And I don't get it. And yet, the runtime of the manga was so short.
Someone needs to write a fucking dissertation on this, man. Like, it is genuinely interesting because I like as good as Demon Slayer is, I don't know how unique it is. It's not
right.
It's not exceedingly unique in any one aspect at all.
And it's not like One Piece that's been around for, you know, 100 volumes, right? Like I think Demon Slayer only has like 23, 24 volumes or something, which for a Shonen Jump manga is really short.
Yeah.
Are there just this many mouth breathers in the world?
It's only mouth breathers.
Maybe they were just like lying in wait.
They'll come out from their basement and be like, finally,
finally, representation.
All rise.
the total concentration technique is breathing through your nose.
Take that ball gag out.
My nose has been blocked for like 2 weeks. I've been a mouth breather for 2 weeks. That's why I watched it.
I can relate.
Finally, I can relate to this anime.
Hello, gentlemen. Today's episode is sponsored by Harry's. 2022 is the year to break up with new routines. This is the year where you can gift yourself or any fellow shavers a nice clean shave with Harry's. Treat yourself or anyone else the gift of looking damn sharp this Valentine's Day. New customers can redeem a Harry's free trial set for just $3 by going to harrys.com/trashtaste. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price, just $2 per blade. Damn, that is cheap. Not only that, but Harry's blades are designed to stay sharp for longer. In a recent study, guys who shave four times a week said their eighth shave was just as smooth as their first. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set. You get a five-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect all your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. Guys, it's literally free money. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/trashtaste to try Harry's today. Thank you to Harry's for sponsoring this episode. Back to the video.
What is even like the top character in Demon Slayer in terms of like popularity?
In terms of popularity?
Yeah.
It's got to be Tanjiro, right?
Is it Tanjiro?
It's
No, it's not Zenitsu.
No, it's not. Okay,
actually, I can see you being
there
Zenitsu.
Is a lot of Zenitsu fans. Yeah.
Why?
It depends because I think the top five definitely is like Tanjiro, Nezuko, Zenitsu, Inosuke, and Shinobu as like the top five.
Yeah.
But like hardcore fans, and there's a lot of hardcore fans in Japan, love all of the Hashiras.
Yeah, the Hashiras are pretty cool.
Yeah. That's, you know, like, I don't know if that's like their way of being like, yeah, I'm a true fan.
Yeah, because like with some shows, you immediately know what the most popular character is going to be. Like,
yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen, it's easily going to be Gojo.
Yeah, you know, obviously.
Like, that's...
That character was built to be the most popular character.
Yeah, exactly, right? But like, in Demon Slayer, you just don't know who it's going to... Like, I can't think who it's going to be. And if it's Zenitsu, then...
I've lost faith in DMZ.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who can't fucking stand Zenitsu.
Inosuke is so much cooler than Zenitsu. I fucking hate it, Zenitsu.
I don't understand Zenitsu fans.
I don't know. It's a good show.
She's relatable.
Is he relatable?
The little bitches that are like they wish they had some power that could make them useful. I'm joking.
I know why the cast is popular. Because you can call every character a cinnamon bun. And that's...
Why? Why can you do that?
I don't know.
I hate you, Carl. Don't say this shit.
I don't know, okay? I'm trying to like understand this myself.
I don't know.
It's such an interesting like social study. Just because like, you know, because we've seen anime and manga.
Fuck your ENTP type, whatever the fuck it is. Tell me your favorite Hashira. That's how I know. That's how I know if you're a real demon.
Fuck your star sign.
Yeah, yeah. No, your zodiac cringe, bro. Tell me your favorite Hashira and why. Yeah.
Update that on your like, match.com profile.
Yeah, put that on the match.com.
Because like before Demon Slayer, what would you say was like the biggest like kind of cultural trend in terms of anime? Has there been like an anime? I'm sure there must have been like other animes that have.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, well, in terms of like caught
the Japanese public as much as Demon Slayer is doing now.
Slam Dunk back in the day was definitely like
that's Japan though mainly, right?
Yeah, in Japan. Was like Slam Dunk was so big it became a cultural phenomenon.
Are you asking in Japan or like the world?
I'm asking in Japan. I don't think in the world there has been one yet.
No, not really.
Not yet.
One Punch Man was for a little bit while it was out. That was
I look at One Punch Man and I'm just like
it was a big deal when it came out.
It was a big deal, but I see Attack on Titan season 4 being a bigger deal
now. That's because it's had more time to brew.
Yeah.
It's had more time to like relish in it.
But even then, comparing like Attack on Titan season 4 to some of like other mainstream stuff, it's not there yet.
It had hype, but it didn't really create like a cultural like shift or anything.
Whereas like sometimes you see in Japan, there is a show that comes along that does create a cultural shift like Slam Dunk back in the day.
My Hero maybe?
I don't think My Hero?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
My Hero's really big here.
It is really big.
I feel like Demon
Slayer was just a million times bigger than
I feel like the My Hero hype train, like we thought the My Hero hype train was big and then Demon Slayer came out. Yeah. And even though I think they're like, in terms of show quality, they're around about the same, you know.
We're not getting into this,
Connor. We are not getting into this, Connor.
I'm just saying.
Which side are you on?
Demon Slayer is much better than My Hero.
Okay, I agree with that.
I agree.
How are you comparing them? Fuck off.
I agree, okay. In the grand scheme of things, I think that they're of like comparable level of quality in terms of like if someone wants to say
I'm looking forward to the summer.
What I'm trying to say, if someone wants to say that they prefer My Hero Academia over Demon Slayer, I'm not gonna lose my shit unlike a lot of people in the community,
My Hero fell off, man.
Bro, I like it. To
ratio.
Bro, My Hero took the L, fell off
ratio. Say hi to your mom.
Look, everyone's telling me that My Hero is going to come back in season 6 with the My Villains Academia arc, which I've heard it's amazing. It might be amazing. It's shonen.
That's
like,
what Black Clover fans have been saying for years. It's literally hasn't escaped out of the manga.
It's just because like,
we all know this.
I don't know what happened with My Hero around season 3. It just became like a snore fest.
I didn't even get to that point.
I can't believe I did. I watched like season 3 and I was like bored out of my mind watching it. I was like, this is so boring. Just do something. Have something happen.
Be heroes.
Leave school or something, for fuck's sake. This is why Hunter x Hunter was good, because they fucking moved. They actually did something. They like got on with the fucking story.
Until they didn't.
Until he stopped writing it. That's why the story stopped. Not because he just kept going in like, it feels like we're in purgatory at this fucking school.
Yeah. As an anime only, I think what drew me-
Anime only too, by the way.
Yeah. Mm. As what drew me out of like, what made me lose a lot of hype between in My Hero was, you know, the first few arcs were concentrate on the school kids doing their thing, and I'm like, cool, you're getting to see progression. And then they started introducing the wider world of the heroes and like these bigger these like vast plots that like pertain to the entire world, and you're like, cool, this is amazing, this is interesting, let's go back to high school afterwards. And I'm just like, what? How can you do this to me? Like, let's go to a concert arc that I don't give a shit about, where you just introduce like the entire villain's world. And I'm just like,
it feels torn, because you're like, just leave the safety net, you know, just leave it. Yeah. Like you clearly have built this world that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think everyone likes the world. Just let them get out of school. Just push them. Come on.
Actually, like, expand upon it. Get on
with it. Yeah. Like, actually do it. But I get it. It's safe. You can milk it. You can get 10 more years out of it. Stay in the fucking school. Never leave the school.
Well, isn't the manga ending soon?
Yeah, the manga's ending soon.
Like
as
this
well.
Year, right?
Yeah.
Did they eventually get out of school? Is that
to read the manga?
Fucking hell! Well, I'm never gonna finish it because I'm like lost all interest in the anime because I was like,
I can't wait for these clips to get like fucking clipped and put on Twitter out of context. Yeah. I can't wait for Shonen Twitter to get on our asses.
I don't
for these
give a fuck. They're My Hero fans. What are they gonna do? Ask their mum for more Fortnite or Robux? Like, well, fuck off.
What?
Mama, cancel my Trash Taste merch.
Come on, it fell off. It fell off, man.
It did. It did.
L ratio.
No one talks about it. No one talks about My Hero.
I think that's the biggest thing, is that I don't even think it's bad. I just think
it got boring.
It just got boring.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, but like no one talks about it now. I feel like there's no point watching it, because who am I going to talk to her about? No one watches it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and you know, maybe the hype might get reinvigorated in the new season. Maybe. You know, maybe manga readers are right. Maybe, I don't know.
If it is that good of a season where everyone gets back on the hype train, fine. I'll be a normie. I'll jump back on the hype train. I'll get back into it. But I need a promise that something's gonna.
Yeah, but like it's been like a season and a half of just boring stuff, and it's been like two movies of just boring stuff.
Oh my god,
so
the movies!
I
watched the movie in the cinema as well, and it was just like
I heard it's just a milk fest.
It was just nothing happened. It was just like I felt like I went in the loop.
Well, that's what I hate about shonen movies in particular, right? Because like. Yeah. Like Demon Slayer is like an exception, because that actually adapted the manga, right?
Yeah.
But to me, shonen movies just feel like very high budget filler episodes where you watch the movie, it's pretty animation.
Do you mean every One Piece movie?
Yes, I mean every One Piece movie.
No, but that's
movie.
True. That's why I don't watch anime movies, because there's just big fillers that make money.
That is true.
But I'm glad to see, I finally feel like Demon Slayer finally figured out how to make a fuck ton of money whilst also not pissing off TV watchers. Just release the movie, make your $1 billion, and then just be like, hey guys, before the new season starts, here it all is in 20 minute chunks that you can just watch. But I thought that's great.
But the thing about the movie, I remember watching it, and I remember thinking, this just feels like a TV a season. It literally had points where I could feel where it would cut off for an episode, and then it continued, right?
Get the money of the movie, but then keep the TV style.
I mean, so many series are going to start doing it because of how successful. Yeah. I mean, I guarantee fucking Attack on Titan's going to do it. I have a feeling. I have this like.
In what way?
I have this gut feeling.
I don't think they will.
Do you think that the ending of Attack on Titan is going to be a movie?
Bold prediction. I think it's going to be a movie.
No, they wouldn't.
Because there's way.
It would be leaked.
There's no way. There is no fucking way, right? Like, people in the industry saw how good Demon Slayer did financially for the industry and go, we can do that again.
I think you got your tinfoil hat on there, Jerry. I don't think that's going to
happen. Attack on Titan, final movie.
Final movie.
Part one.
Yeah, I guarantee.
Three.
I am going to, bold prediction. I don't care if this ends up being on like poorly aged things. Bold prediction, I think it's going to be a movie.
It's the same with the Jujutsu Kaisen movie, actually.
No, but that was a prequel.
But that was a prequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, it actually pretells. Just, you have to know the character.
Does the Jujutsu Kaisen movie follow any source material?
They actually released the prequel manga.
There's a prequel manga that they based off of. Okay.
So it kind of follows the same formula as the.
That's all I care about. I just don't want to. Like when I watch anime movies, I just want to know that I'm not watching a filler episode.
It's canon, right?
Yeah, it's canon.
Don't get me wrong.
I've seen like almost all the One Piece movies, and they're fun. But I'm not fucking on the edge of my seat waiting for the next one.
Yeah,
like you know what you're going into with a shonen anime movie.
Yeah,
you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be the very bog standard 3-act structure where you know exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Maybe there'll be a slight twist, but you know at the end of the day, it all gets resolved.
It's,
because the plot needs to be resolved for it to move on. It can't be exciting.
It's just introduction, and conflict resolution.
And then we end up in exactly the same place that we started.
Because it has to.
All the time.
Yeah. That's what sucks. And that's why I have no interest in like...
And thus they continued on their quest. That's how it ends.
Do you think that Chainsaw Man getting released this year is going to reach the same heights as like Jujutsu Kaisen?
I would like it.
I want to get that.
As a fan of the manga, I want this to be talked about more.
Yeah. I have a feeling it definitely has that potential now. It's been a long time since I've seen people hype up this one IP this much.
Yeah.
Like I remember watching the trailer and the trailer just like, it felt like the trailer just broke the fucking anime Twitter for the day. Like it got like a million views in a day on Twitter or something,
it's like
right?
Less than a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which it's almost like, got like a million likes, like the actual tweet.
That's crazy.
Which is fucking nuts for an anime trailer.
It did not fall off, did not get ratioed.
No, it did not. It ratioed every other anime trailer.
Yeah. That's for sure.
I just hope like the hype doesn't collapse in on itself and everyone starts watching it and people are just like, oh, this wasn't as good as
what
I was expecting.
Yeah, that's what I'm really scared of. I really hope MAPPA like actually pulls through with how
I don't
good
see
the
why
was.
We have any reason to doubt MAPPA.
MAPPA are just like collecting the Infinity Stones.
Yeah, they are,
massive
they
IPs.
They're
they
got killing it right
Attack
now.
On Titan, Jujutsu Kaisen, fucking
yeah,
fucking Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, like, that's true. I'm praying.
But yeah, that was the anime talk of Trash Taste.
Well, we have a clear like the quarantine zone for anime. No more anime.
No more anime for
even enough hot takes for one anime.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's really like, from what I can see, I mean, the only memorable things that people are going to remember the season for are probably those shows.
Yeah.
And My Dress Up Darling, and that's pretty much going to be it.
I've heard that's really good.
It's a good show.
The manga's good.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I've only seen like two episodes. Yeah. It's a good show.
This is what happens when those kind of rom-coms or not slice of life, but kind of. I don't know how to describe it. That kind of genre of thing comes out. It always comes out. Everyone's like 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. Like everyone hypes it the fuck up.
And Komi-san,
like,
10 out of 10.
Yeah, they're like, Nagatoro, this is the best anime. And then like no one talks about it like right after it's gone. It's like, it's forgotten. But like to this day, there's still like Naruto, right? Like it's never gone. Like, I don't know why.
Can you really fault me for not watching anime?
I don't know. I guess that's because maybe the characters you can't speculate as much about or whatever. But
like Naruto was a long running series that were a lot of people.
It's more grandiose.
Yeah,
true. And so.
Yeah.
Well, Rent a Girlfriend. It's grandiose, right? It's grandiose.
It's grandiose.
It's got characters you're rooting for, right? Big moments, big fights.
Big plot twists.
Big plot twists.
Big plot twists. Am I right, Carl?
NTR. It's got everything you can speculate about on YouTube.
I can't wait for season two of Rent a Girlfriend.
See, I want those videos where it's like, you know how like in those Naruto YouTube videos, like, what if Thingy went against Thingy?
Yeah,
and then they speculate. And it's like, what if the main protagonist from Rent a Girlfriend went on Tinder? Let's speculate how well he would do. Personally, I think he would get a success rate of 95%. He'd be slaying, you know.
But that's just the theory. Yeah, that's
just what I'm saying. Let me know down below. Yeah, everyone's like fighting it. I don't know. I don't know.
How dare he make that speculation?
Honestly, I mean, I believe when Rent a Girlfriend season 2 comes out, that's going to be worth watching because that arc is legitimately going to be good.
Is it going to cover that chapter though?
No.
I should have brought Brent a girlfriend. No. I should have, you know, you're going to bring it up so many times.
He's the most excited he's been this entire episode.
You're so happy though.
I just, no, I can't hear Rent a Girlfriend now without just laughing.
That's some real clown shit.
Yeah. If you know, you know. I feel sorry for anime only watchers because they're gonna watch season two and they're gonna think it's really good because it was a really good arc and they're not gonna know what's going what they
they'll
have
never
coming.
Know what hit them.
They'll never know what's you waiting for them on the other side. But yeah, I mean,
I guess we're done talking about anime.
Yeah, stop talking about anime now. We everyone leave.
Where this is it. This is your anime
you
talk.
You finally played 13 Sentinels after Garnt's recommendation last week.
Yep. I beat it in 3 days.
Yeah, so obviously you guys watched last week where I recommended 13 Sentinels to these guys. Mm. So I thought, you know, I didn't know if they would take my recommendation.
Goes in the well of recommendations.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, I'm just going to continue playing it. I'm playing it at a comfortable pace. And then 3 days after recording, Joey texts me and goes, I finished 13 Sentinels. What the fuck, Joey?
I literally went home that recording night, downloaded it, started playing. I was like, I'll give it a couple of hours, right? Just like as Gaunt said, I'll give it a couple of hours just to warm up, see if I even get into the groove. Mm-hmm. I got into the groove all right. Because the 3 days after that, it was just me waking up, having like 6 coffees just so I could fucking stay focused in this game, playing it for like 10 to 12 hours straight, going to bed.
Yeah. Oh my God. It is like, now that I have someone to talk to it about, I can, without spoiling
but
anything.
But we can't talk about it.
But we can't talk about it because like, I can, like now someone finally understands that I actually think 13 Sentinels might be the most insane plot I've ever seen in a video game. I haven't even finished it yet.
Yeah, it is by far one of the craziest like video game stories or just stories in general I've like sat through.
Yeah.
It's like, so Gart last week made the comparison of it's like Boccarano mixed with Steins Gate.
Yeah.
Right. As someone who's finished the game, I can say he's right on that, but only on like a surface level. Because it has elements of Boccarano, like with the robots, and it has elements of Steins Gate, which is the time traveling aspect. But then you combine that with like Ghost in the Shell and The Matrix.
Oh gosh.
And that's and just imagine all four of those mashed into one story.
How is that cohesive?
Somehow
I don't know how they did it.
I don't know how. It's,
but it is cohesive.
Out of 10?
Like strong 9.
Wow.
I haven't finished it yet, but like playing through it now, you get to about the third of the waypoint, right? And you think like, because I'm going to say there are twists. There are twists in this story, and I remember getting about the third of the way through. I'm just like, I know the twist that's going to happen. I know that's going to happen, and then sure enough, what I predicted happened. And then that was just like the twist that leaded into another twist that leaded into a fucking bigger twist. Like
there were moments as I was playing, especially the second half, where you think like, you're like, all right, this same story has been told from 13 different perspectives, right? So you're like, so you follow everything. You're like, okay, I think I know what's going on. And I think I can predict what's about to happen. But there were moments where a character would say one line and I literally have to put my controller down just to be like, I don't believe you just said that, because now what I thought I knew about this game is completely out of the window.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But it doesn't come out of left field either. I genuinely want to know
what the writing process is. It's so insane how many times you get fucking actual physical whiplash for like new plot elements that get added that is like batshit crazy if you explain it out of context, but like in context,
it makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. It makes like the fucking Fate lore look like Disney. You know, Kingdom Hearts.
I think I said to God, I texted God saying it makes the Kingdom Hearts lore look like Sesame Street. Yeah.
Like Kingdom Hearts fans are going, finally a coherent story I can follow along with. You know, like it's like I can't put into words how actual insane the story is, but it's fucking incredible.
I don't know how it works, but it just does. Yeah.
Like, and we were saying, like, I don't know how more people haven't heard about this, even in like the JRPG community, because even like the JRPG community is a very tight knit community. Whereas if something's good, you normally hear about it from from like 5 different people in the JRPG community.
I think the problem is that because when I tweeted out about it, I thought I was going to maybe get like 3 people being like, woo, you know, about it, right? Because again, you don't hear about it. But like,
I think it just like opened the hatch and like all the 13 Sentinels fans came out being like, yo, let's go. Because I got so much fucking support for being like, oh, he's finally fucking played the game. We've all been trying to get him to play kind of deal. And it's like, I looked in, cause I was curious. I looked into it being like, why have I not heard of this game until Garn told me about it.
Yeah.
And it's because Atlus put literally zero money into the marketing. So it they kind of just released it and was like, if you find it, here's a gem.
Yeah.
But if you don't find it, then you'll never know it existed. And I don't
do any marketing. This is weird.
It's because it's literally impossible to explain the story without spoiling it.
Yeah.
Actually, scratch that. It's literally impossible to explain the story. Period. Even if I did spoil it, I can't explain it.
I was like considering doing a Twitch stream for this playthrough because I was like more people need to like experience the story.
Yeah.
But then I was like thinking about what would the experience be like for a viewer, and like if you switch off for like 5 minutes, you go make a cup of tea or something.
Yeah.
You're completely fucking lost again.
Yeah.
Because then you've missed a piece of information that's important to someone else's plot somewhere.
How long is the game total?
So
I'd say around 30 hours.
I think I beat it in like 32, 33 hours.
I'd say that's...
Which is short for a JRPG.
I was going to say that's probably not a bad length to stream a game. I'd say any game that takes like over, like if you're doing a full-time shift, right? Let's say 8 hours. If it takes more than a week, it's probably too long for Twitch.
I mean, I tried to stream Yakuza 7 and that's a really, really long game. And a lot of people fell off like maybe like after like stream 6, stream 7.
Yeah.
People do like those types of games to watch, especially people who have played it.
Yeah.
They fucking love those streams because they're like, I want to see
someone else
like their reaction to the bits that I thought was insane.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But also, I mean, I don't know. It's easier. It's normally easier to stream those kind of games as well because you're so invested that like it doesn't feel like you're live almost. It's I'm just so into this.
I think as well, the problem, because I thought about it too. I was like, maybe I should stream it. I don't know. But I thought about it and like I'm glad I didn't because the reason why I played it back to back 3 days in a row is because I thought to myself, if I don't play this game for more than a day, I'm going to forget everything. Like, it's,
have you forgotten everything now?
A lot of it, yeah. But like, I remember how it ends, but like, it's the build up to getting to that end, which is what makes it so interesting.
It's like you have the beginning and the end, and the beginning's just like this, and then somewhere it goes and then you're just like, we're here now.
We made it here somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got here, but we got here.
Yeah, we got here.
And it's a batshit insane journey, but it's like one of the most fun
journeys. It is literally Vsauce intro of the game. It's like in this game, you follow as this protagonist.
Yeah.
Or do you?
I am tempted to play it because you guys have hyped it up so much. But I'm like, I would have to stream it. I couldn't justify playing a game that much and not monetizing it.
God forbid.
I don't know.
The thing is, I want to see you try and do it. Just to see if your audience can even keep up.
I don't even know if I could keep up, bro. Is there a skip option for the cutscenes?
It's all cutscenes.
That's going to be hard to not.
I mean, you're basically.
It's 100%.
Do they give you options to skip?
No.
Okay, well, that's good then. If they don't.
There is a fast forward option for dialogue you've already experienced.
But like,
because you experience the same scenes multiple times.
I say this with like zero irony. You need the dialogue.
You need the dialogue. Yeah,
you know, I know you do. That's the thing is that it's hard because if I'm like, the skip button's there.
Let's just say it's not a game I can see you play.
No, yeah, yeah.
That's why I think it would be funny to play it as well because I'm just like,
oh. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you spent 3 days playing that. I spent 3 days, no, 4 days playing Jump King.
4 days playing Jump King. Yeah. How was that experience?
Hell.
Yeah.
It looked like it.
While I was enjoying myself in my own space, you were being ridiculed by tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, I know. It was tough. It's tough. It's really like soul destroying.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a really good game though.
I want to play it.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like when Callie was on and talking to us about it. Yeah. I don't think you can appreciate this game and how difficult it is until you play it.
Yeah, I certainly didn't because looking at it, it looks so simple.
Yeah, that it looks easy.
Yeah, it looks so simple.
How hard can it be to
just jump in it?
Jump. Like how hard can it be to like judge the jump? But then you're like, oh, okay, well, the only instinct that gives you like you cannot see any indication of how long this jump is going to be other than your muscle memory how long you hold the space bar or controller and how long are you going to jump. And it is soul crushing because there are some jumps where it's like it is like a
like pixel perfect
there's like a one tenth of a millisecond window where you have to get it precise. Right. And if you fuck it up, you have to go back and do 50 plus perfect jumps to get to the opportunity to fuck that one up again, which you'll probably fuck up again. So it's really soul destroying. And the first game I beat it, I did it in 1 8-hour stream, which was long, but it was fun because, you know, I left text to speech things on.
Mm. Yeah.
So people were just insulting me. Mm. They were like, Connor, you can't stream. You can't keep streaming this. You'll get a DMCA for streaming White Men Can't Jump and stuff like that. And they were like, Connor, just turn your monitor upside down. You'll be making good progress and stuff like that. Just insulting me. And it was really fun. I think it made for a really good stream.
Yeah.
And then I decided, because Callie said that she think I could do the DLC.
Yeah.
And I regret doing the DLC. The DLC was so much.
Yeah, I remember you finishing the original Jump King in like one day and everyone's like celebrating. I was like, good for you. Because I remember tuning in the morning and tuning in the night and I'm just like, Connor's still fucking on this.
Still on this bullshit.
And he was like, finally, you've done it. And then when I saw Callie told you to do the DLC as well, I was like, oh, so it's just a little extra that will take like half the
extra
time.
Extra bonus.
An extra bonus stage that will take half the time. And I remember tuning in one day, you were doing it. Tuning in the next day, you were still doing it.
I was like, damn, this guy really likes this game.
It's cruel, man. The DLC is so much harder than the base game. So I think, I don't know how many people have beaten the base game, mm-hmm. but I know that only 2% of the people who have it on Steam beat the second DLC.
Yeah.
And there's a third DLC, which is even harder, which I'm too afraid to attempt right now.
Didn't Ludwig beat like all three of them in like an hour or something?
Yeah, Ludwig's insane.
Yeah.
I think Ludwig's first run of it though did take 40 hours of the last DLC.
Fucking hell.
So just like-
Man's just it's built like, different, man.
he's crazy though. He is insane. And like you can't appreciate these games and how good Ludwig is at them until you do them yourself and you're like, this is insanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this is insane. Like the sheer amount of muscle memory required for this game is just absurd.
It's just like a From Software game, right? Like it's like that level of muscle memory.
If you die in Dark Souls, you go back to the spawn point, right? Which can be far.
Yeah.
But in this game, it's like you can lose like 2 hours of progress.
It's like no checkpoints anywhere, right?
No. So, and the base game, there's points where you can get to where you're kind of safe.
Mm.
You can't fall too far. Mm. But the second DLC, there's points where like you can fall massively.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's never any safe points. And in the third one, again, there's another even harsher jump. And it's just brutal. I recommend trying it. I don't know why. It's kind of...
Yeah, I want to try it.
Yeah, I want to try it as well.
Although... You know, there's rage games. There's like, not like getting over it, but like, you know, there's like Cat Mario games back in the day. There's
Flash games.
Where they were just like troll. Yes. It was like, it was just fucking with you. This game was, it feels like you never blame the game when you fail. Like, it's like, it's always you. Like, you were the one who didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
You never feel like you were unfairly played. Mm. There are some sneaky things they do here and there.
Yeah.
But it's a very rewarding experience. However, I do not want to do it again for a long time. I had horrible anxiety on the last day because I was getting to the end and I just wanted it to be fucking over with.
Yeah.
So I was so close. And if I fell, I would go all the way back down. And it's just horrible. I think my heart rate was like resting at like 110 or something because it was just, it's nerve wracking because you know if you fuck up this one jump, you've got to redo it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So there's one point during the DLC on the second day where about halfway through the stream, I'd gotten to the final part.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. Somehow, like, I was stuck on this one stage for hours. And then I just started going through all the stages perfectly.
Mm.
And I was on the very last stage. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do it. Like, my heart is like 120. I'm like fucking holding the space bar. And then I do one big fuck up and I lose like half the progress I'd made.
Oh,
and I
God.
Couldn't, and the rest of the stream, I couldn't get back to where I was.
Right.
And I was just so miserable. I went to bed just so sad. I was like, this is horrible. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'm a fake gamer. I couldn't do
it. Why would you do that to yourself?
Because that
content,
challenge,
in it.
One, the content.
Yeah.
Fantastic Twitch content. Yeah. People love watching a man go insane and be miserable.
Of course they do.
You know, I don't know why anyone would ever play those games just for fun.
Not on stream.
I was gonna
ask, would you ever consider playing a game like this if you didn't stream
it? Absolutely not. No, you couldn't. Why would you do it? Because there's absolutely no reason to do it, right? If I do it on Twitch, it's like, okay, well, it's great content. People, it's really easy to understand. You know, you play 13 Sentinels. It's like, hey, so here's the 15 characters you need to know all the in-depth lore about. By the way, you missed 10 seconds of dialogue that changes everything.
Yeah.
Jump King, it's like, my mom can understand it.
Yeah.
If you fall, that's bad.
You're a kid who jumps.
You literally you go up. And if you fall, you can sometimes fall really far.
Yeah.
And that's bad. You know, it's super easy to get people invested in.
Yeah.
And it's just fun watching watching someone go insane, I think. I don't know. I would never do it off stream.
Yeah, of course.
Ever. Why would you? I don't understand why people have done it. What compels you to keep going? What compelled me to keep going?
Self-satisfaction, right?
Yeah, right? What compelled me to keep going is that I didn't want people calling me a little bitch for quitting.
Right.
So I was like, well, I've got to keep going. Or everyone's going to call me a little bitch.
Basically.
And I also am very stubborn, so... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Callie's still going. Oh,
Callie is still going right now. Is Callie, that the third DLC?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, by the time this has gone out, I'm sure Callie's beaten it, right? I'm sure.
Let's hope so.
Hopium.
Callie's insane at it. Callie also is like insane at it. Callie beat the base game in like an 8-minute speed run. Very insane.
Holy fuck.
Jesus. Yeah, really good stuff. Really insane.
Fucking hell.
Again, I'm much more appreciation for anyone who's beat that game now.
Would you ever consider speedrunning?
Yeah, I was about to ask. Would you ever learn how to speedrun?
The base game. Yeah, the base game's like... easy mode now. Like there's only a few jumps that scare me in the base one.
Right.
The rest of it's like super easy. Because there's margin of error. Because if the platform's wider, you can obviously
have a lot.
But sometimes they do like just like a little pole.
Yeah.
And you have literally like you have to get the arc perfect.
Right.
And sometimes there's ice on the platform, so you can fall off, or they're rounded, so you can.
It just
fall
sounds
off.
Like those like really punishing like NES and like Super Nintendo games, right?
Yeah,
like, I feel that's like kind of becoming a trend again, especially in the gaming indie world. I'd feel like,
but sometimes those NES games are just bullshit.
Oh
like,
yeah,
they
of course.
Were like unfair. Yeah. I feel like this was an experience that is very challenging, but also very rewarding. Weirdly,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I've never felt more accomplished about a video game.
Yeah, I felt that when I streamed Hollow Knight. A while back. Like that game is like fucking unforgiving in some ways. And to this day, I haven't beaten it just because this is one boss where I'm just like, this is bullshit.
Right. Those are the types of games that when you beat it,
you're just like, when you beat it, it's like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I learned a lot about myself in those 30 hours. I learned an awful lot about me and who I am by just
you kind of have to, right? You play a game like that for that long, which I don't know how the fuck you do it. Respect to you for being a true gamer.
Yeah.
I can't even play a gamer. I can't even play a game that has like more than 5 inputs for like more than 3 hours, you know? Fucking just pressing one space bar and just jumping for like 10 hours. I can't fucking
do that.
I
was sweating playing 13 Sentinels and you literally just press circle for a while.
I'm pretty sure I'm getting repetitive strain injury. RSI.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure I was getting that after a while because I'm like, doom. it's mind numbing.
Yeah.
It's good though. I really do recommend trying it.
Yeah.
I definitely want to stream it.
You should. I really want to
see
you
race it.
Huh? Yeah, you guys should do a stream together.
We should race it.
I'll commentate.
That's so
stressful.
No, it's fine. No, because if you... No one expects you.
I don't want to do it on my own.
Listen, the first time
you want me to suffer you, Joey?
I don't want to be alone by myself with chat just fucking doing this, I want someone to be there
with
me.
People would love that. You got to do this now. This is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, come on, let's do it.
If you go in... Yes, God, do it.
I'm dragging you
easy.
In.
It's easy, just press the space bar.
I'll fucking do it. I just love the way Joey's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Right, go on. Yeah. Right? You're with me, right?
Go into it. Don't say you're going to beat it. Just say like, you're just going to play it.
Yeah.
See what happens. And because
no, if I play, I'm going to beat it. That's the thing, right? If I start, I'm saying it. If I start, then that's my commitment.
Well, now I can't fucking do it with you because I have to.
No, you don't have to. No, you don't. You don't have to. You can do it.
You know what? Mama didn't raise no quitter.
Mama didn't raise a bitch.
But
this is in 4K, guys.
She raised someone who is so afraid of failure that if you don't start someone, you don't need to quit.
You're gonna play it. Both. You should do it.
Oh my God.
But no, like, I mean, it looked fun, I guess.
Big air quotations and fun.
Like you completing it looked fun. I didn't like see.
It didn't look fun. It looked satisfying.
It looked satisfying.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
It's got a good soundtrack too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like Joey's doing his best to try and like convince me to not pick up Final Fantasy Online because.
Shut up. Fuck up. I'm doing this man a favor right now. I'm saving a life.
Everyone's like addicted to this game apparently.
So like last week me and Sydney offhandedly mentioned that we maybe were interested in getting into Final Fantasy Online, and Joey perked up like we just mentioned that we wanted to try crack or heroin or something. And it's like, God, what did you just say?
I think I'd be more understanding if you said you wanted to try heroin. You know, like I think doing heroin is less life threatening than Final Fantasy 14. Dude, like, okay, so I've had friends who have started it since day one,
right?
Because they're big Final Fantasy fans. And myself, I was like, okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
But then I remember, NAM flashbacks came back to me of like times where I used to be like heavily addicted to MMOs, right? I would literally, think of my 3-day streak with 13 Sentinels, but over the course of like 3 years. That was my experience with MMOs, right?
That's why I didn't touch them.
Right, and so I tried it. I did the trial for Final Fantasy 14 because you could do like a trial period without actually purchasing the game.
Okay.
And I did that, really fun. But I stopped myself. I was like, no, I cannot do this.
You got some willpower.
I unlocked 100% of my brain to be like, Joey, you are not doing this now. Not during the busiest year of your life. You are not going to upload for a year straight if you start this right now.
Yeah, because I didn't notice. Like, I didn't know what you were doing in the days that you were playing 13 Sentinels.
Yeah.
But I did notice. Normally Joey uploads like every other day on his Joey channel.
Yeah.
Suddenly he stopped uploading.
Dude, I didn't even tweet for 3 days. I was literally shut out from the world.
Was it the gamer thing where you wake up and immediately start playing until you fall asleep for 3 days? Oh, I love those.
For 3 days with 13 Sentinels. Oh. But 14, Final Fantasy 14, I'm going to be that way. I just know it because I love Final Fantasy games. I love MMOs and like everyone around me is playing it as well, right? So like there's no better feeling than playing an MMO with a bunch of mates.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Obviously. So I was like, no, I have to stop myself. I want to be a responsible adult that actually does what he needs to do and what's important.
You need to be a functioning
member. I need to be a functioning member of society and I'm not going to do this. And then, you know, and fucking all my friends are like, so when are you going to start 14, Joey? I'm like, stop it.
It's like the forbidden thing. I just don't go near them. Yeah. I know that they're bad for everything in life.
Exactly. I'm sure I'll have fun.
Were you like into WoW and like MMOs back in the day? RuneScape. Oh yeah. RuneScape.
You know, looking back, I just think this is insane. I would just sit there clicking on trees for 8 hours.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Why did I do that? I was so emotionally invested.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. If I was a teenager, like now, and 14 came out, I'd be on that shit fucking every day, right? Yeah, but because I have less responsibilities than I do now.
Yeah, because when we did the RuneScape stream, I remember I had a lot of fun. And then it dawned on me that whatever we were doing was like twice the speed or like how much faster was it?
It was like 10 times.
It was like more than 10 times the speed.
It was 20 times speed.
It was like 20, 10 or 20 XP.
Yeah.
But it took us a whole day just to get to one single boss battle.
Welcome to RuneScape.
How long would that take if we didn't have the XP multiplier?
Probably a lot. And also like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and like in RuneScape as well, I think like the last few levels are like the equivalent to the entire levels before.
Yeah.
So like getting to like 95
what?
And doing like to 99 is like the same as getting to 95.
Literally, and man discovers how much of a grind RuneScape is.
People say One Piece fans have commitment. Like, what?
Well, the thing was, I think the thing that made RuneScape so kind of addictive is that you could kind of just like kind of hands off it, but kind of not. Like you could just kind of, it's other monitor shit. You can just click. I knew people who would do that. They would have their normal life, but always have RuneScape on the other monitor. Yeah. And they would be like, kind of sounds like a gacha game. I'm just going to say it. They never shut you off. They never had sanity or anything. What's the other one?
It's like playing Arknights with unlimited sanity. It just never ends.
It literally was like, it never stopped you.
Yeah.
I think that's what made it so good. Is that they never try to stop you.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like people probably put more money in because it wouldn't stop you, but they never had microtransactions. They just had membership.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
The good old days. So yeah, I'm doing everything in my power right now to stop Sydney from getting into Final Fantasy 14. Because
you shouldn't.
I mean, we were just like mildly curious, right? We were just like maybe we'll look into this, and then
that's how every drug addiction starts.
Yeah. We were just mildly curious, and then we saw that it had gotten so popular that they literally removed it from the store. Because I remember we just tried to like download it.
So that made you want to have to play.
Yes. Yeah.
So classic Tsundere lover. If it's hard to get, then he wants it even
so
more.
So like Sydney like mentions that she's going to try and download it. And I'm like downstairs playing like 13 Sentinels or whatever. And she's like, Gone, I don't know what's wrong, but I can't download it. And I'm just like, fucking Sydney, come on, Woman. Sydney. Have you never downloaded a game before, Sydney? Come on. And so I go up and I'm just like, Sydney, you press the download button. And I'm like trying to scroll down to find out where the fuck this download button is. And I'm like, is this the download button? No, it just goes into another pop-up. And I'm like trying to like navigate this site. I like try to go on a Steam page. It doesn't give me a download button. So I'm like so confused. And then I realized that they had to like take it off the store.
Because their servers literally aren't big enough.
Yeah, because the servers literally are too small to handle the player influx that came in with the new expansion.
Mind you, this is Square Enix. Which is literally one of the biggest fucking games.
What's so good about this expansion that like...
I don't know, but
it's the story.
I want to know.
I've heard it's the story, yeah. Right?
And now and when we couldn't download it, I'm just like, okay, is there any other way to download it? So I start researching to see if there's any other way to download it, because now I really want to fucking play it.
What are you like hacking into the Square Enix server?
Where is it? I'm just like, there must be a way. They couldn't have just taken the file away. Surely there's a way to download the file, but like you literally can't download it. You can't buy it. You can't anything. Like it's the only instance I've seen in the gaming community where I've tried to give a money company and they've refused to accept my money.
A money company.
I've tried to give a company my money and they refuse to accept it.
Just do an EA. Just let the servers be broken and still take the money. We'll definitely fix it.
Yeah. So I've heard sales are coming back on the 25th of February. Damn. So
stop.
No, damn. Of January, sorry. So that's coming up.
There's the fucking reason why 16's been delayed for like 2 years.
It's because they
just like... Because they hate the same producer.
Yeah.
I remember when that game initially released, the Final Fantasy Online, that it was terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
It was so bad that they removed it and they built it. They built it up from scratch.
Yeah.
Again, and then the re-release just fucking exploded.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember even when it re-released that, it wasn't that big, was it? I don't think it was.
It was big, but nowhere near as it is now.
Like I can't escape it.
Yeah, it's been a game where I remember like one or two people talking about it. It wasn't like a massive explosion, but like slowly over time, I just keep hearing it more and more and more. And it's huge. It really just fucking exploded with this new Endwalker expansion. That's the name, right? Endwalker?
Yeah.
You know, I've been to a lot of like themed cafes in Japan, but the most I've ever been to one cafe is the fucking Final Fantasy 14 cafe. Just because all my friends are like, you want to go to the Final Fantasy 14 cafe again? I'm like, I don't even know this game, dude. Why are you dragging me into this? Shut up.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a good game. I'm just never going to do it because I don't want to get
addicted. It's a good game. I just, you know, have responsibilities now.
I mean, I'm sure it's a good game, and I've just been looking for a new game to get into because it's like
Minesweeper. Minesweeper.
You know, like there's games like Jump King where, you know, I'll play it for content, but I also want a game where I can just play.
You want a comfort game, right?
Yeah, I want a comfort game because once 13 Sentinels gets finished, comfort gone. I just don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Yeah.
We grow when we leave our comfort zone. We accomplish things when we leave our comfort. You think they climbed Everest in their comfort zone gone?
You know what? I would learn, like right now, you know, we just fill that void with more work. And I would like to know what happens if we just do something fun instead of filling that void with more work.
Certainly not Final Fantasy, because I'll never fucking see you. Yeah. Trash Taste will be on hiatus.
Yeah, exactly.
it'll be like, what the fuck happened to Trash Taste? You're playing Final Fantasy Online. So
I remember when they promised like three specials this year. What's happening
with
that?
I don't want you to be the Togashi of Trash Taste, all right? Like, I want you to be present and here. No hiatuses.
Connor, like, he'll break the own, like, he'll call in on like Zoom and shit. He'll be like, I'm doing a raid right now, but yeah, I can Trash Taste.
If we can talk about Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, oh my God.
I mean, how long were you?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Nabi, this motherfucker, like, you know how he tried to convince me to play 14? He was like, what? They have Mahjong in Final Fantasy 14. I'm like, what do you think? I'm some kind of like,
there's Mahjong. Poker. Like, yeah. No one's playing it for poker.
Just because there's Mahjong in a game doesn't mean I'm going to be like, yes, give it to me. Like, what do you think I am?
But like you're the dog. This is like the cheese and the pill. Swallow the pill, Joey. Like, it's in a layer of cheese.
It's like Pavlov's dog from Mahjong. It's like Mahjong. Yes, I'm playing it. It's like fucking so rude. The only one I'm looking forward to is the new Kirby game.
That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like Kirby 64, but on Switch. So it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new Horizon Zero Dawn. Because the first one is one of my favorite games of all time. And like, I've been waiting, biding my time all this like for like the past 2 years to like not buy a PS5 or like to buy a PS5 when it's fine, when the price has finally gone down,
yeah,
and you're not just buying it from like scrapers or whatever, right? Yeah. And it's like there's now a game I want to play on PS5, but it's still not fucking available. Yeah. So fuck my life.
Called them scrapers, sorry, scalpers.
Scalpers.
Yeah, I was like,
is that the name? No, is that
scalpers,
the name?
Scalpers.
Scalpers.
Bottom scrapers.
They are bottom scrapers.
That's what I was thinking. They're like fucking they're bottom scrapers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like I'm going to have to try and buy a fucking PS5 sometime just to play this game. And
get it.
Yeah.
Is there enough games on the PS5 like that are exclusive at the current moment?
No.
Right? Because for me, my rule of thumb with new consoles is I need at least like maybe 3 games where I'm like, I really want to play this. That'll get me to finally buy it. Like that's what I did with the Switch. That's what I did with the PS4. Like if it's just like 1 or 2 games, then I'm like, what am I going to do after I finish that game?
Yeah. I'm only getting a PS5 just because that's how much I like Horizon. Oh, that's how much I liked the original Horizon Zero Dawn. Because I'm just like, I need to play this game at launch.
I only bought a PS4 to play Persona 5. So.
Yeah.
What are the really big games that are available on PS5? I don't know, Demon Souls?
Demon Souls,
the Spider-Man game.
Oh, the Spider-Man game. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seven Remake.
FF7 remake.
Is it actually?
If I'm not mistaken, that's why I got the PS5.
Oh, it doesn't feel like a true PS5 or like a next gen, and like if it's on like the gen before.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like,
I mean, 2 second faster loaded time, right?
Yeah.
The privilege.
Me is doing the counter all the scalpels thing. Well, we'll increase our sales for PS4s instead.
Cool. Thanks, Sony.
Cool. Thanks.
Cheers for that.
It's because of the global chip shortage, right?
Can't get
any devices.
Yeah,
can't get GPUs, can't get tablets,
phones. Can't get servers for FF Online.
You couldn't even get hash browns at McDonald's for a while in Japan. Did you hear about that?
What?
We had a hash brown shortage in Japan for a couple of days.
Oh, it's because of the potatoes.
Yeah, right? Because of the potatoes. But it was so bad to the point we couldn't even get hash browns.
Wait, why was there a potato shortage?
Japan doesn't import potatoes.
Okay.
So they only accept like their potatoes because they believe that they're.
So we had a potato shortage?
We had a potato shortage.
Was it the French fries, wasn't it because they couldn't get the stock, like the imports?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure Japan doesn't import the majority of their potatoes. You can Google it.
Whatever the issue was, it was obviously as a result of the pandemic. And then I think it was only for like 2 or 3 days.
Because
like,
they had this a few years ago with potato chips in Japan or crisps. They didn't have any potatoes because there was a really bad season, and they refused to import potatoes because they saw them as lower quality. You know, that's a load of bullshit. Potato's potato, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. So they didn't have any pizza potato chips, and people were really angry.
Big sad.
Well, of course, like
they do import. Yeah. The fries are processed in the US and Canada before being shipped to Japan.
Oh, really? They are. Maybe it's just maybe potato chips then.
Like shipping disruptions on Vancouver side, so you can get.
Right.
Maybe it's just for potato chips then. Japan is like, or like maybe Calbee is like, no, we only use Japanese.
We only use Japanese.
Might have been
chips.
A company thing, not a whole nationwide thing. Yeah, it makes sense, really.
I mean, Japan does have this massive culture around their, you know, vegetables and ingredients and where it comes from and it being high quality. And then
it needs to come from X prefecture, otherwise it's not right.
And then you taste it and you're like, this is just a very good version of X thing that I normally eat anyway for 10 times the price.
I want to do a test where we get the same vegetable.
That's an after dark stream.
Yeah, from different prefectures and see if we can figure it out.
Or like the expensive versus cheap fruits.
We should do that.
Because I will say like, you know, there's some fruits where I've had like you have like Japanese strawberries, for example, and I don't think I've had a bad I don't think I've ever had a bad Japanese strawberry, but like it's more of like consistency.
Have you had bad strawberries in the UK?
You know, there are some strawberries where you have and it's like it's just not that sweet. It's like sometimes a bit sour, you know. It's still a strawberry, but every time I buy a packet of strawberries from Japan, it's like 3-4 times the cost, but every fucking strawberry, it's like the sweetest strawberry you would get from a UK supermarket.
This is the non-branded
stuff. It's also sad that they probably waste a lot more food as well. They probably just throw away the ones that don't meet the quality standards, right?
I don't think it's that. I think it's just the quality of like cultivation is just like incredibly high here.
Oh, okay.
Because like I think I saw this like documentary about like melons, for example.
Yeah, I saw that one on YouTube.
Yeah, the melons one is like the fucking process of that is like insane. Like this guy, this dude in like his 50s is like taking better care of this melon than some parents do their children. Like,
yeah, it was taking better care of the melons than I was myself.
So. Yeah, right. So it's just nuts to think that like, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, now that I see the process, I can understand why it's a little more expensive and way tastier. But yeah. Can it justify me paying $300 for a melon?
I just wish there was a cheaper option, you know?
Yeah.
Like because I would be fine with it if there was an actual option that, you know, rivaled the price of the same ingredients I would play in like the UK or whatever.
I think that's the problem. Like I remember I used to eat so much fruit in Australia just because like an apple was like less than a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, exactly.
And it's just fucking easy to pick up and it was cheap and it all tasted good. But like in Japan, like the cheapest apple you can get is like 300 yen or something.
Yeah.
It's and it's just like, I can't justify me spending $3 for an apple.
Sometimes you want that high quality experience. I get that with every bite that you take. But sometimes you just want to eat a shitload of one thing and not have to feel guilty afterwards for spending a lot of money.
If you eat steak every day, sometimes you want a hamburger. It's just how it is.
I know Japan doesn't grow bananas, does it? I don't think they can grow here, right?
What?
Bananas.
No,
I don't think it's hot enough.
I think bananas are all imported from like Philippines.
Yeah. I love the banana gacha. You know, where you're like,
banana gacha.
You crack open a banana and you're like, I have no idea if this banana is going to be like shit or good.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Can grow bananas in Okinawa, Kagoshima, Miyazaki.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just never know if a banana is going to taste like the perfect banana.
Right.
What is the perfect banana?
Well, you know it depends, right? Some people like it really like brown and like some people like
I hate it,
it
brown.
I don't like it brown. You know, you want it to be, sometimes you bite into a banana and it's like fighting back sometimes. It's like kind of tough.
I would prefer.
And you're like, what the fuck happened?
It's got some give.
Yeah.
I would prefer a banana be too ripe than too brown. To me, like I prefer ripe.
It's like rock solid, and it's
I prefer it when it's like just like a tiny bit of firmness, just like a tiny bit of firmness still there. That's like my perfect banana. It's not like it's not completely green, but it's not like it's just turned completely yellow. That's like to me, that's like my perfect banana.
Yeah, I don't like the green ones, but sometimes even you get like a non-green one, and it still is like rock solid or something.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't ever know what I'm going to get with these bananas. And frankly, I quite enjoy that. I quite enjoy that maybe I'll get that god tier banana that is just like really smooth, kind of a little bit sweet. You're like, oh, this is just the perfect banana.
Why would you ever play a gacha game when you can just
bananas are the OG gacha, bro. Like you just never know. You never know if you're going to get a good banana. That's what I love about bananas.
It's so sad though, because I really miss eating like a lot of fruits. I can't justify myself.
It's like banana is actually one of the cheaper fruits you can eat in Japan.
Like,
because it's imported.
They sell it.
You can get it at the convenience.
Yeah.
For like, exactly. You know, maybe like $3 for like maybe 5 or 6 bananas.
I eat like 3 bananas a day because it's just the one fruit I get at every convenience.
Real monkey here. Huh?
Yeah, do you know what I realized the other day? I don't know why. I really, really like bananas.
I think it's because they're like pre-portioned.
Okay,
they're like the
pre-portioned.
They are like as humans, we love portioned food. We love it when something tells us this is how much you're eating.
Yeah.
And the banana is the perfect one.
I really, really love bananas. I like eat them every day.
I'm a JoJo fan as well.
but
I gobble bananas.
But for some reason, I hate banana flavored stuff. Like no, I don't know why. When it's like I don't like banana flavored sweets. I just there's just
it,
something.
It depends for me.
Well, you know, because the banana flavored stuff is from a variety of banana that we don't use anymore. It's like extinct.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Probably because
the artificial banana.
It has this
flavor.
Aftertaste that tastes so artificial that it just really puts me off.
So it's like I think it was I don't know if it's the one we use right now is the Cavendish banana or the one before. I know there's a bunch of YouTube videos about this.
Yeah,
there's the one before apparently is much sweeter, much better flavor, but like a plague wiped out that type
species,
of banana.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They had to grow another one that's more resistant. Problem is that it apparently doesn't taste as good.
Mm. Yeah.
So the original banana sweetened flavor stuff that you taste and stuff is supposed to be that original banana flavor.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true.
I don't mind the artificial
banana flavor. I really like the artificial banana flavor more than the like real banana flavor.
Mm.
So I feel like I've been robbed.
What? You like the artificial banana flavored more?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I feel like I'm missing out on the OG banana experience. You know? You know, I feel like I've come late to the party.
This mythical banana.
As a monkey. I feel like my ancestors had it good. They had the OG banana. You know, the sweeter banana, the better banana.
Have you had
ancestors were eaten good.
No, extinct banana flavor is part mister. Banana flavors actually became more popular than bananas because nobody had ever eaten banana before.
The mythical banana. Yeah, because that's what I taste when I taste banana flavored stuff. It doesn't taste like real banana to me.
That's because your concept of real banana is the only like one that we grow. That is your real banana flavor.
Is that not what a real banana is, Connor?
That's one variant of banana. There's so many bananas. They all taste different.
You're eating real banana. Or are
actually,
you?
Like my
You are, but there are more flavors than the flavor you know.
But no, I know that.
Resources.
Actually, my favorite banana actually is my favorite banana is actually Southeast Asian bananas. I don't know if you've ever
of Southeast Asia.
I don't know, but I'm saying Southeast Asian because I've only had it
what
in Thailand.
Huh? What European bananas?
European bananas are the same fucking bananas that we import, right? Yeah, but Southeast Asian bananas are like...
It's really funny out of context.
I can't wait for the banana edit of this where JoJo fans arguing about dicks.
I'm looking forward to the comment section of this clip. Bananarologist here.
No, because like in Thailand, you can get like these really small bananas that are like half...
Oh, the finger bananas.
The finger bananas.
Yeah, right? I like those.
Which is like what they taste like if you take you take one of the full bananas we are used to and just pack all that flavor in half the size.
It's getting the big banana in
a
Photoshop.
Shot of
just
banana.
Doing
yeah, it's just a shot of banana. Like I'm like fucking addicted to those bananas because like my dad comes in with a pack of like, they don't even sell them in like, you know, packeted, don't sell them in like packeted bunches. You just take like, you just buy them by the bunch. Mm. And right. Like you buy like a bunch of like 10 or 20 and I swear I can get through like 10 in a day. Like I eat one and I'm
potassium
like-
Potassium overload.
Fucking, potassium overload, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Potassium overload, the fucking ape, the fucking ape brain just takes over. I'm just like, fucking just give me 10 right now.
Do you think that all apples have the same taste?
No, I don't.
Well, then I think that's the same thing with bananas, except we just don't have the
other.
Don't
start this conversation.
I'm just saying we don't have the other bananas. Right?
But where have you had the other banana?
I haven't. I want to.
No one's had it. It's a myth.
It exists.
It's literally a myth.
It's like, you know,
we just established
all of the apple flavors are really distinctly different, right?
Yeah.
Like, they taste very, very different.
Yes.
That's what we've missed out on with bananas.
You're speaking about a mythical banana that this artificial tasting taste like. You've never tasted
banana.
It before, so how can you say that this tastes like this mythical banana? You're actually talking out of your ass right now.
No, I want to try this banana that I know is going to taste different.
What if it doesn't exist? What if it's just
it does
completely
exist. I know
artificial?
It exists.
In his defense, it did exist until we had to kill
it's gone.
It.
Right, but
we can't have it anymore, God. It's gone.
It did exist, but have they perfectly replicated that flavor in the artificial flavor?
How do
we
know?
Because we don't have science back then. You know, science was just a guessing game back then.
Exactly.
So how do we know that this mythical banana tastes the same as the artificial flavoring?
We can just, you know, speculate based on our apples.
I can speculate what a fucking dinosaur tastes like, but I know I'm never going to taste a fucking dinosaur.
I bet it tastes like a bear.
Look, if someone came out with like a fucking dinosaur flavored lollipop or steak or something, I'd be like, cool, this is completely bullshit because no one's ever tasted a fucking dinosaur before.
We never got to taste a dinosaur. I wish we could have tasted what dinosaur, like a T-Rex probably tasted great. We'd be arguing about
T-Rex would be gamey as shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
True. What is the? What would be the tastiest dinosaur?
Like the Tomahawk.
Let's start that, Tommy. Velociraptor?
Probably Velociraptor.
Velociraptor is like-
Good size. No, too muscular. They run
too
fast.
Oh, that's true. That would be too tough.
I don't know.
What's the fucking long neck shits that- the fucking long-
Can you pass the mustard?
The Brachiosaurus.
Brachiosaurus. I bet they tasted delicious.
You know, we missed out on all these foods and stuff, you know, that we could have had.
Trash taste. We've literally run out of food we can argue about. So let's argue about food that doesn't exist anymore.
Let's speculate about shit that doesn't exist. I can just wake up in a cold sweat and wonder what bananas we've missed out on, though. That does happen. That does happen.
I just don't know if it's ever crossed your mind what the word artificial means. It means it doesn't exist.
Because they're speculating. The bananas we've lost.
What if the bananas we lost just taste like absolute garbage?
I'd be able to sleep at night.
Probably does, because
they didn't extinct because they were little bitches and like Gordon Ramsay didn't like them. They went extinct because a plague wiped them out. Gone.
The plague was like, we did you a solid. We got rid of these shitty bananas. Like, for real, we'll give you these other ones. You can imagine what it tastes like.
Dumbest fucking argument we've had.
Would you ever want to taste a dodo? Because man, if
no,
they went extinct because they got overhunted. So I'm just like, damn, how good do these fucking birds
taste?
They
overhunted for what purpose? Were they? Did they have like a beak that was special or something?
No,
because I
don't know. Maybe because they tasted good.
Do you know why, Ashley?
I can Google it for you.
Google it. I'm going to speculate.
Isn't
because
it because they were just shit weak animals?
Like I've heard that dodos were just like
they were just really stupid.
Yeah.
They're like really dumb, and they were like, if there was a predator that came up to it, they wouldn't even know it was a predator. Like that's how dumb they were, supposedly.
One of the reasons is because
look, I've seen Ice Age. I know exactly what happened.
Natural habitat was almost completely destroyed after people started settling on Mauritius.
Wow. People.
You know, this is why, you know, sometimes I watch those YouTube videos where it's like the predator, like the animal, like there's a tiger eating a fucking deer or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you go in the comments are like, oh my God, I wish I could have helped the deer. And it's like, what, stop nature? Like, what do you mean? What are you going to do? I hate these comments where they're like, I wish I could have helped that poor animal. It's like, this is literally nature. Like, just let it do its thing. Like,
we would be in this position if it weren't for where we are right now.
Yeah, we're a plague, all right? That's fair enough. Should probably not
we're
do
the
that
problem.
Shit.
We're the virus.
When you're asking a lion not to like eat its prey, it's like, no, that's what a lion does. That's like the whole point. That's why everything exists. Like, let it do it. Like, don't intervene.
What are you gonna do? Just like go up to a lion and be like, just stop.
Like, yeah.
And lion be like, yeah, you're
have
right.
Have you
man.
Ever tried soy meat?
Veganism, it's an option.
I think David Attenborough spoke about this one time as well, and he was like, someone asked him in an interview, they're like, do you ever feel like sorry for the animals that like, I think there's one with like the birds were falling down and stuff or something. And he was like, no, you know, it's just unfortunate.
That's just life.
That's nature. It's not our place to intervene and to get involved and say who can do what until obviously we burn down all the forests.
and literally killed the dog.
I mean, that is kind of on us.
We should probably intervene as little as possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate those comments, though.
What is it you want to say, Ashley?
There was an animal that was literally eaten to death, though. I think it was the giant tortoise.
Most animals are eaten.
Yeah, that's
to
on
death.
Us. That's on. Like,
ate the whole species to death.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on us. That's on us.
What animal was that?
I think it was a giant tortoise.
How the fuck do you eat that?
What? By humans?
Start?
Yeah.
What's fucking wrong with us? Well, apparently they make turtle soup and stuff.
I don't know. I just find it just the image of just a guy looking at a giant tortoise being like, delicious.
I don't know. It really was delicious.
No, stop it.
I don't want
to. I don't know. We've eaten a lot weirder things.
That is true. That is true.
If there's something that's breathing, I'm sure humans have tried to find a way to eat it. Maybe humanity just has trash taste. Vsauce music.
Is that the end of the episode?
Nature is scary, or is it?
This episode of Trash Taste with nature and scary things.
You know what's not scary though? Our patrons.
That's true, Jerry. That's Look at true. Them. They survived natural selection.
Yeah. They weren't interviewed.
What is your favorite banana that you may or may never have
eaten? Tell us your favorite variant of banana that you wish you tried.
Tell us what you think is the tastiest dinosaur.
How many variations of banana are there even?
Enough.
I've only eaten two. That's
How do you
real and artificial?
Well, it's the bananas that are widely available around the world, and the
I'm
going to
guess
bananas.
Like 800.
I'm gonna Google this.
Oh, there's
right
only
now.
10. There's only 10 variants.
No, there's just 10, but I think there's more.
Oh. There's loads.
Is that a top 10?
It's a top 10.
Top 10 bananas.
Number 10.
But hey, if you enjoy the show and want to support us, then make sure to go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/trashtaste. Also follow us on Twitter, send us your memes on the subreddit, and if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify. Also, tell us what you think is the tastiest dinosaur.
And why?
And why? I want a reason. How you would cook it.
Would you dry age? Would you, skillet? Let us know down below. What kind of wood would you use?
Velociraptor skillet.
Dry aged T-Rex.
Thank you
Hell yes.
This episode of Trash Taste. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God.